Now, you had asked me about Lions people at that tournament, at that match when I that fucking tried to fight that kid.
Yeah.
At one point, I took a tennis ball during the match and I threw it and hit him in the face.
Who? The kid?
The kid. This little fucking brat.
You threw it at him?
Yeah. It was soft. It was like, you know, but it was
you threw it
deliberate in his face.
Got struck by the first volley of the war in the court. Never held my serve. Send him a wire, give him my best. His ammunition never rests. No one serves coffee, no one wakes up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live from the Energy Dome Grand Garden Arena. Hi, everybody. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode something. It's called Tennis Anyone this episode. Maybe 209 or 210. I had my friend Michael Costa on. He's a really funny comic from L.A. And, I look up what number we're up to. He used to play tennis as a profession. He's a pro tennis player. So we talked about that. He's kind of a looper, you know? I describe loopers as just guys who, like, toil around. It's not the big guys. A looper would not be Hulk Hogan. A looper would be some guy in a local wrestling, you know, organization who gets by. In comedy, a looper is a fucking road dog. Anyway, he was that for tennis. So we talked about that a while. And, of course, it's always funny when two comics talk about any subject. It's way funnier than hearing two tennis players talk about a subject. So, that's what it is. Episode 209, Tennis Anyone with Michael Costa. I just had a great time in Portland, Oregon. I went to visit my friend Matt Siegel. He was there too. I went on a hike with his kids. Every once in a while, I'll see like a different version of what reality can be with children. His kids are fucking cool, man. Everyone's hippies out there. All these people get out in the wild and do shit. It's not a suburban, you know, way of life. We climb Beacon Rock. This dude built a giant, so there's one of those giant monoliths, one of those rocks that goes straight up, you know. And this dude took some years, some dude just took it upon himself, and he cut into the rock and just zigzags up this fucking giant monolith. And you get to the top and look over the entire gorge. It's fucking awesome. Problem is, we went when it was 70 degrees on a Saturday. The first 70 degree Saturday in March, so it was packed, but it was still cool. Took my shirt off in the sun, so did Matt's kid. He took his shirt off. I like how kids mimic you. But when it's cool shit, like taking your shirt off, mimic away, buddy. So this episode is brought to you by Passive Aggressive. Passive Aggressive, Ari Shaffir's first special. I'm sponsoring myself. You guys, my first special, Passive Aggressive. I did Revenge for the Holocaust. That was a CD. And then I worked my ass off for a year. This is the problem with bubblers. Fuck. Why do you take the least stable pipe? It's the most prone to falling over is a bubbler. And you take that and add water to it. Fuck it. Bubbler manufacturers, make fucking four legs so this shit can't fall over. I get the bubbling part, but make it stable. It's the worst, the most disgusting water that spills out of there every single time. Anyway, I worked my ass off for a year, pretty much all of 2012, and at the very end of the year, I recorded a special at the Knitting Factory. Chill.com paid for it. They're out of business now, and so not many people saw this special. Came out in 2013, and I love it. I'm super proud of it still. It's great. If you've seen it, you'll know. So until now, it's only been available on illegal torrents. So people haven't really seen it. But this Friday night on Comedy Central, Friday night at 11:59 p.m., Friday the 13th, 10:59 p.m., Central, 9:59 Mountain. Passive Aggressive is playing on Comedy Central. I'm so excited. Way more people are going to be able to get a chance to see it. I did this one on my own completely with my friends Michelle Caputo and Shannon Hartman. We directed it and produced it and fucking made something really cool. I'm really proud of it. The bit they're going to put in there, I said last time about the chicken bit, they're going to put in there complete. It's fucking golden. I have no idea if they're going to include the Bobby Lee story or not. That's a 19-minute long story, and I know they got to cut 18 minutes out of this to fit on television. If you guys want to buy it, I'm doing an experiment. I'm doing a pay-what-you-want experiment. I have to make it at least a dollar because they got to pay for their operating costs or something. But minimum of a dollar. But pay whatever you want beyond that for the special. If you already bought it and now you can't find it anymore because Chill went out of business, by all means, I give you the permission to pay the $1. And if I see you at a show, I'll give you the dollar back. And then on top of that, if you want to pay me some extra money for doing this and fucking working my ass off just to get it for people to be able to see it, then by all means, give me the $2,000. No, seriously, give me whatever you guys want. I think the people that have the money to pay for stuff will pay. That's my theory. And the people that don't, won't. And so you charge people based on how well they're doing. That's pretty much what it boils down to. If you're the type of person only torrent shit, then, you know, whatever. I guess it's still a dollar. Or find it on torrents. I think they're still up there. Otherwise, pay what you want. Go to arishafir.com right now or arithegreat.com. There's a banner right at the top of the page. Click on that and buy away. There should be an option at the end also to buy my other special, Paid Regular, if you didn't get a chance to do that. But buy away. Whatever you guys want to pay, pay. And if you want to pay later and not now, there's a donate button on my website too, right underneath the dates. If you want. Honestly, no pressure. I really just want you to see it. But I'll tell you what, let's make a deal. If you only pay a dollar for it, or if you're touring it, you got to play it for like four or five different people. You got to spread it. That's a fair deal. You fucking steal it, that's fine, go ahead. But don't fucking hoard it to yourself. It's not a real thing. It's not a book that you take from me. You know what I mean? You're getting the enjoyment from it, so spread. It's more like fire. If I steal fire from your camp, I don't have to hoard the fire. I can give it to as many people as I want because my fire doesn't go away. Fuck yeah, Talmudic learning coming back to help me. So anyway, play for people. Let's start this episode, shall we? This weekend, also, I'm in Brea at the Brea Improv, the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Kevin Christie is featuring for me from he's been on this podcast before a couple times. And then Sacramento at the end of the month, and then I go to Australia. Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. Perth is out. Brisbane's in. All right, you guys. Let's start the episode. Also, two episodes left of This Is Not Happening. Rogan, Segura this week. And Cristela Alonso. The following week. The 19th. Is that it? Damn, that's the last one. The 19th is the last one with me about my first mushroom trip ever. And Joey Diaz. Only two comics that week because the fucking stories are long. That's how I do it. Don't chop it down. So tune in. Set your DVRs. And set your DVRs right now for my special because if everybody watches it now and DVRs it, then they're more likely to play it a bunch more. It all goes down to that first airing. So if people don't watch it or don't DVR it, they just won't play it again. I want as many people to see it as possible. So that's not asking too much. Just set your fucking DVR for me. That's asking very little. But like I said, also, there's 18 more minutes if you're by. All right, come on, let's start. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Think, episode 209. Tennis Anyone with Michael Costa.
I got the magic stick. I know if I can hit once, I can hit twice. I hit the baddest chicks. Show they don't believe me, then come with me tonight. And I show you magic. What? Magic. Magic, I'm a freak to the core. Get a dose once, you gon' want some more. My tongue touch your girl, your toes back.
I'm gonna get more here too, though.
You don't do headphones, huh?
Nah.
You're ballsy, dude.
Comics, we know how to handle a microphone. I've been getting them more here than I have before I left. That's what I noticed. Like I'm getting up like twice a night here on average.
Right, right.
When I'm getting up. So it's like one or two nights a week I don't get up at all, but then like 10 in a week. Instead of when I left, it was like six or seven.
Yeah. Are you doing all the alti rooms?
Some of them.
Here and there in New York too?
There's so much, well, you saw it. There's so much more overlap between the scenes in New York.
Yeah,
So there's no, like, there are a few, but there's barely any, like, straight alt rooms, and there's barely any straight black rooms. You got guys like Mike Yard and all those people that are just, like, in the shows with everybody else. Here, it's only Ian and fucking Owen Smith a little bit, and that's it. Freddie?
There's definitely more division here. You know, what is a bar? Like, a bar show in Brooklyn is fucking everything. It's black, white, hipster. Bar show,
the one at Matchless, do you ever do that one? And it's like, those guys are just kind of like, and that used to be Che's room.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not an alt room. Yeah. And now it's just two, like, cool guys.
I got booked at Matchless at Stand Up New York. Like, so random to get booked at a independent bar show at a club. That's crazy. That's what's cool about New York.
Oh yeah, they don't have that here.
They don't have that. Oh dude, if you're at the Improv, they're not going to go, "Hey, you want to do my fucking thing at the El Cid on Tuesday night on Sunset?" No,
El Cid still go sometimes.
I think it is.
What big show is there? There was a big show once a week there.
I don't know.
Like 5-6 years ago.
I ate dicks at that show every time.
Really?
I love the space. I kept going back. I was like, I love the room. Cheryl is a really cute dog.
Oh yeah, she's super cute.
Hey Cheryl. She's sitting on my lap.
She loves cum.
Yeah, she does love cum. I remember that from before. So, yeah, I gave her some of my cum from before.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah, that's nice. She appreciates that, I'm sure. Yeah, man. Do you miss New York? How long have you been back?
I've been back since September. So I've been back 4 months. You know, the comedy scene was cool, but I was still they make you start over more or less.
Yeah, but okay. So I went, me and you went like slightly different times in our careers. I was a little more known, but when I started thinking about going, I was probably where you are, where it's in, but not like people in LA knew me.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one's clamoring to get me on stage anywhere.
Right, you had to still hustle when you got there.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, I would have liked to have gone as that just to see if just my comedy alone could be like, wow, man, you're really good.
Right.
I think you got a lot of that.
I think I got a lot of that. I mean, you know, I by no means was like upset, but it was back to the like, hey man, you're going to go first on the show.
Oh, right.
Which is fine. Like, do comedy, be funny, whatever. But, you know, when I first moved to LA, it's a ton of you're going to host or whatever. Oh, yeah. Although I found that in New York, there's a lot more respect for the host.
Mm-hmm.
Here, people, like, I hosted the Jay Davis' show last Thursday night that was 5 hours and 45 minutes long. And everyone's like, why are you hosting? And I'm like, because hosting's fucking, it's like,
hosting is fun.
It's fun and it's cool and the audience sees you the most. But in New York, they would never go like, why are you hosting? You're better than that. It's like, it's fucking a great.
Legit people are hosting.
Exactly. Legit people. And they pay you.
Keith Robinson, they
twice,
pay you better.
Three times as much as a host.
Yeah.
So The Stand was great to me. Stand Up New York was great. You know what? Did you ever do Dangerfields?
Not once.
It's kind of like The Comedy Store a little bit, but.
Dark like that?
It's dark like that. Oh, Cheryl just left me, went over to Ari. What a little bitch.
She likes my left.
She likes your cum better.
smell on my pants.
Yeah, so I miss writing in New York. Man, it's easier to write.
Because you're seeing so much. You think that's just because it's new experiences and not...
Here you choose who to interact with. We chose today to interact with each other.
Uh-huh.
In New York, if I was coming over to your place, I would have interacted with 50 other people that I don't want to interact with.
On the subway,
the fruit guy, he always had to tell me a joke. Every time I bought fruit from the guy on 22nd and 8th, he had to tell me a joke. He didn't know I was a comic. No, he didn't have any. That was his fruit stand thing.
Yeah.
He would do jokes. But you know, you always end up walking away laughing, going, what a stupid fucking guy and a stupid fucking joke.
But you still got to like interact with him.
But you got to interact with him.
Yeah.
He never had change. So every time I'd buy a Fiji apple, it was always a different price. Every time. In New York, those little bodegas are always a different price.
They do whatever the fuck they want.
Whatever they want. You want cigarettes, $13. You want cigarettes tomorrow, $9.
Yeah, they get weird sometimes with cash and no cash.
Oh, dude.
Oh, really? They just random. They just set the price whatever they want.
Whatever.
13 and 9.
13. Well, because I think there's like...
I don't have any ones today, so it's 10.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of illegal cigarette trade in New York City. I don't buy a lot of cigarettes, but if I know I'm going to drink, I'll grab some.
So if they get them for like cheaper, like stolen, they're like,
well, stolen.
Less markup.
Yeah, we're talking about stolen cigarettes here. Yeah.
So I fell off a truck.
Yeah, exactly.
God, it was so much fun just walking around though and seeing shit.
Isn't it?
Did you walk to the Stand from where you were?
Absolutely.
You did, from 8th to 3rd.
I tried to walk everywhere.
That was probably straight across. Yeah, me too.
I tried.
What was that, like a 15, 20-minute walk?
That was a 21-minute walk.
That's mine was to the Cellar. My old place was 27 to the Cellar and like 19 to the Stand. Now it's like 21 and 19.
And, you know, we
I love it.
I love it. We were talking at the store the other night about how, like, I stop at a red light here and I always grab my phone.
Yeah.
And it's like, just fucking be a comic and observe the world around you. In New York, I would walk to the stand and I stopped doing this. I would walk sometimes with my phone and look down. And I almost walked into a man who was standing in the street pissing. And it was, but it was like, first of all, I deserve to be pissed on because I'm looking at my phone. But it's like, in New York, dude, put your phone away. Just watch this pinball machine. Just watch it. Observe
it. I noticed that
it.
Too. I was like, I was walking. I was like, I have missed the last 7 blocks where I don't know what I saw. And I'm in one of the most exciting cities in the world.
In the world.
And everything's interesting. There's no like marshals anywhere. It's
no.
Like, it's all fun, interesting, one-off stores.
Imagine how many hot girls you passed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you just, in your, you know what I like the most is those old people that grew up in a time in New York before any sort of cell phone.
Right.
And now they developed that this is how New York should be, and they see all these people looking down and walking into them. I saw this lady with a cane just smash a cane in front of me on the street. Like, look up!
Watch out.
Yeah, she was just like, she hated it.
That is a great city to observe, to watch. I used to love to...
I take my shirt off.
In New York and just walk
people
around?
People leave me alone. The people won't even try with me then.
I was at Malachi's Bar on 73rd in Columbus, and I was with my brother Todd, and there was this crazy homeless guy yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, let me cross the street, right?
Todd wants to see him.
Todd's like, fuck this guy.
Todd Costa don't play.
Todd Costa don't play. So Todd starts yelling at him. And it was fascinating to see someone yell at a crazy person who's yelling because he fucking snapped out of it. And he just like got quiet and walked away.
Oh, really?
It was like, you know, Alpha Dog was challenging Alpha Dog. Now, I don't think – I would not recommend that with a lot of homeless people. A lot of
– in the long term, you're going to find some problems.
Veterans that are fucking flashbacks and shit.
Oh, but, you don't think I've been yelled at before?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I do miss New York.
With this weather, you can't.
Come on, dude. I'm going from here to tennis.
Are you really?
Come on.
Good segue.
Yeah. Oh, but that's true, actually. I'm not even trying to guess there.
Who are you playing tennis with?
I'm playing tennis with a group of people tonight. We play at...
Doubles?
We play like doubles drills. Yeah, I'm like the...
Oh, really?
Good job that you know that it's called doubles. I don't know.
That's not tough.
You should know it's called doubles. Yeah. But we play... This is how privileged life can be in Los Angeles. We play at a private court. On the west side, it's Donna Mills' house. Donna Mills was the hot blonde in Dallas.
Oh.
She's older now. But my tennis friend teaches her daughter. I don't fucking know how it happens. So I'm going to Donna Mills' house right now.
She's playing in her backyard?
Playing in her backyard.
What, she got two courts?
She's got one court. It's next to the pool. There's a fireplace. So at night, she starts the fireplace. You sit out there. People bring beer and wine. You take shots if you miss a certain amount of like tennis shots. It's like a tennis thing we do. It's just the most privileged like thing ever. But you know that shit wouldn't go. That shit didn't happen to me in New York. Here, it's pretty nice that happens.
When did you start playing?
Four, man, young.
At four?
Yeah, I mean my I grew up in Michigan and
UP or LP.
LP. Yeah,
it's
LP. That's always LP. Have you ever met anybody in the UP?
No, I always love asking the question though.
UP or LP?
Like what? Oh no, LP.
Lower Peninsula, Upper Peninsula. I mean, if you go to the UP in the winter, they have like everyone's eyes are like huge because there's no fucking light. They're literally trying to get light. It's like those fish in the bottom of the ocean that have like huge eyes because they have to capture more light. There's no fucking light up there, dude. It's nuts. So I'm LP. I'm from Ann Arbor, and then. We had a public park that was close to us, and my family would always go down, and like my mom would pack a picnic, and we'd play tennis. But that's when I started playing when I was
four.
Did your
parents play too?
Yeah, but no one's like super good. My brother Todd played in college, Todd Costa, the one earlier from yelling at the homeless
guy. Did you also?
Yeah, I played at the University of Illinois.
Champaign-Urbana.
Where are you, D.C.?
Maryland, yeah, D.C.
Maryland, D.C. Yeah, I played college sports, which...
I played 1 year of college golf.
Did you?
Division III. Yeshiva University.
Where? What university?
Yeshiva.
Did you go to the Maccabiah games?
I did in Israel.
Yeah. I feel like every Jewish athlete goes to those.
Yeah.
It's just part of the deal.
We actually played once. There was some Maccabiah games when I was in Israel, and the Argentinian team didn't show up. The volleyball team didn't show up. And so me and my friends just played a little bit sometimes. So they were like, hey, we need somebody to fill in. And we were awful, but we filled in. And everybody knew we were just a ragtag team. They gave us the Argentine?
I don't know.
Jerseys. And everyone started cheering for us. I mean, we scored like 3 points total. But the whole crowd was going, Argentina.
And you guys are like...
Yeah, it got us really hyped up. They knew we had no idea how to play together. We had no coach.
I feel like every Jewish athlete I've ever met. Like, the is it Maccabee or Maccabi?
Maccabee
Games. I feel like that's where every Jewish male athlete first fingered a girl. Was at that.
It's on a trip, for sure.
It's on a trip, and it's always like the joint of Israel. I don't know. Yeah. I used to coach tennis at University of Michigan, and a couple of our players would go play, and they'd come back with their gold medals, and I was always like, are you proud of that? Are you not proud of that? I didn't know, but...
It's nice, but it ain't like Olympics. They treat it like the Olympics.
Yeah,
though.
Which is cool. I get it. The Jewish Olympics. I get it. So, yeah, I played... our family played...
So you played in high school then, too.
I played high school, University of Michigan. I'm sorry. Huron High School in Michigan. I won the Division I state championship my sophomore year, and then I won it again my senior
year.
Wait, you
won the state division championship?
I won the whole thing, yeah.
Sophomore and senior?
Sophomore year. I should have won my junior year, and I fucked up.
Who beat you in junior year?
This fucking guy named Chris Schultz. I can't believe I lost.
A Jew.
Yeah, a Jew. After I'm dogging the Maccabee games. You know, it was one of these things, Ari, where I won as a sophomore, and I just thought I was a bad motherfucker.
Did you lose the passion because you think
I did? I just got so arrogant, and it's so stupid. It's the obvious. First of all, I'm 16.
Right.
I
think I know.
Exactly. I know what this is. And I'm talking about Michigan tennis. It's not like I won Florida.
That's where it's good.
Warm weather.
Oh, right.
California State Championship, dude. These kids, they don't even play high school tennis.
Is it the same for golf? Pretty much the same states that are good at golf or good at tennis?
I think so. Like Texas is great. Georgia is great.
Yeah.
If you're in the warm weather and your state is somewhat affluent, you know, all the best tennis is in Florida. Anyways, I won the Michigan State title. I thought my shit don't stink. I hooked up with like a senior that night. You know,
did you really?
I thought
I was a sophomore your own high school.
For my own high school.
Who?
And then the next year, what was her name? I don't remember her name. I honestly
did you do it with her or just make out?
Oh, dude, no, I didn't do it with her.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 17, oh. I've been talking about it on stage but she was very religious. Her name, first name was Ellen. I don't want to say her last name, but she would only let me fuck her in her ass. So
wow.
I lost my virginity.
Anal virginity first.
Because her dad was a priest and then gave it up, and she didn't want to be.
Heard of that.
It's very common.
Yeah, it's shockingly common.
So she was like, look, you can enter my ass, but you can't fuck my pussy. We can swear on this thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about fucking pussies.
On the radio, and I say, it's fucking time. And everybody goes, oh. What am I on? Isn't it the subject? They're like, no, not the subject. The
you
words
said
you
fucking.
Use. I was like, oh.
It's so weird. Radio, doing radio now, it's like.
It feels like such a dinosaur now.
It is such a dinosaur. It's such a dinosaur. I did this show yesterday, and they're like, we're family friendly, but we may ask you about Bill Cosby. And I'm like, well, what do you want? How do you
don't
want?
Don't then. Don't.
Yeah, don't ask me about
because,
that topic.
I mean, it's rape is what the topic is.
Do you want me to talk about how much I enjoyed his comedy routines? You don't. I know you don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You want me to talk about rape.
Yeah, it's not retrospective for Cosby.
So, so my high school girlfriend, I don't know what we're talking about, but I'll just tell you. So
losing
she
your anal virginity
she
tour?
Let me.
Did you lose lube?
No, dude. Would not use lube. We would get going, and then once you kind of get going, man provides own lube, pre-cum, yeah. And that was fine. But dude, I was 16 or 17. I don't know what I'm doing. We would do it. We would go over to her house, and we would do it in her ass before her dad came home. The priest. Dude,
you know the place would smell like fucking. And he could like come in and smell it, but not be able to catch you.
I hope my parents don't listen to your podcast. Do you know if they do? Do John and Jan Costa, do they subscribe?
No, your aunt and uncle listen, but I'll tell them.
Sandy and Fred. Okay.
Sandy and Fred do listen, Sandy, Fred, be cool. Don't tell.
Be cool. Don't tell John and Jan.
John and Jan, yeah. Man, I had sex with a girl in her butt once. This is like not too long ago.
Were you doing a joke about it right now? Aren't you?
About butt sex?
Yeah. I thought I heard you the story that night talking about going in the butt or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe you're just riffing. I don't know.
No, dogs smelling butts.
Yeah, I know that last night I heard you do that. Anyways, I don't know.
I got a small penile tear.
You said this on stage, dude.
Oh, really?
At the Comedy Store.
No, I think it was at a stand. I feel like I haven't talked about it here yet.
I saw you at the store talk about this because...
Oh, maybe.
And if you don't believe me, let me tell you what happens after this.
Okay.
You were so freaked out you thought it was herpes.
Yeah.
And you got tested. So it was a penile tear.
Yeah.
And you had to call her and go like, "I may have herpes."
Oh yeah,
you did do this one night, dude.
Yeah,
it was funny. I don't know if that's the way it goes or not, but that's what it's like.
I gotta start doing that as a bit. Then
it's funny because isn't it about the panic of feeling like you have an STD?
Yeah,
and then calling someone and saying, "I think you have an STD."
Yeah, the weird thing too is all my friends are like, "No, why would you call until you get the results back?"
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I wanted to ask you.
It's because she's gonna. if it is herpes, she's going to be fucking other people, giving them herpes.
You care that much about humanity to jump the gun by 3 days?
Okay, also, there's a mixture of that.
Yes,
the reason.
I was going to say, there's got to be something
and
else.
Also, if I wasn't positive, I was 90% sure I had herpes.
Yeah.
So at 90%, I can still have that 10%. It's like, look, this might not be. So it's not like a full bad news.
I see. It's like, let's.
I think it's herpes. That doesn't help. It could not be.
That doesn't help.
Just to give them a little bit of hope. As opposed to no hope, like, you definitely have herpes. I gave you herpes.
Don't tell me you're calling her because you care about the other men she's fucking.
I think so. Just random dudes. It's not like it's a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's great of you. It's not fair to them.
I think.
Oh, I would have loved if I. If I had gotten a call, if that girl had gotten a call and be like, the girl I was going to have sex with that gave me chlamydia, and then go, oh, actually, I just found out I have chlamydia, to get tested. My ex-boyfriend called me and told me.
But do you think she would have said that? I bet you girls that have chlamydia and guys too.
Maybe she would have insisted on a condom then.
Maybe. What's chlamydia? Is that where you just drink the milkshake and it goes away?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Antibiotics.
Didn't people used to just die on like ships of chlamydia?
I think they used to die, or they would give you the rod down your penis hole, that kind of thing. I think that might have been one of those.
Used to take your face off, your nose.
Really?
It was syphilis or chlamydia.
Maybe. That resulted in like
a lot
cancer.
Of deaths and shit. But I think chlamydia is chlamydia the clap or is that gonorrhea?
Somebody recently said it's chlamydia.
I can't get it figured out.
I don't know. I don't know what the clap is.
I had a friend who once went down on his girlfriend and he just...
Is it stinky?
He goes, yo, it is... It's nasty down there. And she got tested, and then she drank the milkshake, and it goes away.
Yeah, it goes away.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Modern medicine just fixes something.
It's just like, all right, well, this was shitty, but...
Here's the thing. I think I would have just kept eating her out and just going, God, my girlfriend's pussy stinks. I don't think I would have had that conversation.
I mean, not then. Maybe... No, not even afterwards. When are you going to say, like...
You got to say something eventually, but I don't know.
What's wrong down there? No way.
What do you say? How do you say...
I mean, picture a girlfriend instead of just somebody you're hooking up with.
Yeah.
Be easier with a girlfriend or harder?
It's more.
I mean, you've had
a good
sex
question.
With them a lot, so it's casual. So,
yeah.
So you can easily be like, hey, there's a lump. You could say there's a lump.
Hey, I love you. Yeah, I mean, there's a lump. Maybe.
But you wouldn't say that to somebody you're just hooking up with.
No, hey, there's a lump. No. You could say, you would just say, like, hey, I don't like, you know, this is a difficult conversation, but I was. When I was putting my tongue in you, didn't taste that great. This is getting gross.
It made me want to barf in your pussy.
Yes, that's what it was. So I could
maybe want to
improve
use
the smell.
As a funnel.
Improve the smell. I wanted to barf in your pussy to improve the smell.
Tennis.
Tennis, yeah. 40 love.
Straight anal sex. I knew a girl like that. It was such a Christian thing. The weird thing is, that's like only Christians do that.
Yeah.
But to the non-Christians, it's such a non-Christian thing. Anal sex is such an overboard.
It's insanely, you would think, like the people that are having anal sex are like being gangbanged and porn stars and then Christians.
I've done it like 3 times.
I did it with this girl a bunch of times, and this is kind of where this is my...
I never tried to put it in the vagine?
I never went in the vagine. But here's the good news about it was I don't need to do it anymore. I got out of my system. I put it in her system and I got it out of my system. I don't need to do.
Did you pull out the cum or no? You just came inside her butthole.
Came inside her butthole.
That's one of the jokes. Nothing's.
I think it's happened once or twice after that, but those were just like drunken weird nights where you're like, what happened? You know.
I think some girls really want that.
Do you think?
Well, I talked to Belladonna. She might not be the most normal of girls.
Okay.
But she said that if she could only have one.
Really?
She'd rather just have anal. She likes both. It's kind of like me in New York and LA. It's like, which one's better? Like, what better? Come on. They both have such amazing parts to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, some people.
Why
like,
would she want that?
Higher receptors for pleasure in there than other people.
Are
you
there?
Know, some girls can get off on vaginal penetration and some only clitoral.
Right.
You know, where there's a mixture percentage-wise what can do it. Same shit.
Is that not also... Is there something more like we're not supposed to be doing forbidden about the ass?
Yeah, well, that's why I would get into it, too, where it seems like it's so wrong.
Well, that's what's so weird. When you're with a girl that is like, no, that's what I want you to do, it's not
that
forbidden anymore. And now you're like, I just want to fuck this girl's pussy.
Yeah.
So,
I just really want to have sex with your vagina.
Isn't that so funny? So
Jimmy Dore used to do a joke about that where some girl was like... having sex in a vagina, but she always liked anal. And when he did it in the vagina, he was like, it was almost like it was made for this.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes. Well, that is what's funny. And that's what I prefer now, because it does just naturally do its job anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it wasn't herpes. So
yeah, it wasn't herpes. You had a penile tear, cause, and you got that because you didn't use lube?
I didn't use lube. But I don't think I've ever used... No, I have. One of the times I did, of the three times.
I remember one time I was hooking up with this girl and we were drunk and we were on the road somewhere, and she was like, let's go get lube. And I was like, okay, fine, like, but whatever. So she goes and she knows like
what
aisle and which one and all that. And I'm like, how many fucking people have you fucked?
Gotta put that out of your mind.
Yeah, you gotta not think about it. Like,
maybe
you can't think about it.
Research on the internet.
Okay, so she has a preferred anal lube. No big deal. No big deal.
She's like, that kind's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't feel as good.
I had a couple of bottles of that, but I'm not going to renew my
subscription. That's not for me.
Tennis is a very affluent sport, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an affluent sport. Yeah, for sure. It definitely, its reputation is more affluent than its reality.
Its reality is, I remember I used to play, I mean, although I guess me and where I grew up was middle to upper middle class.
Yeah, I mean, that area of the country is a great tennis area.
Montgomery County, D.C.?
Well, just, yeah, that whole D.C. I mean, it's well-educated with and affluent.
But there are public courses, and we were just out there as kids going, like, let's go play tennis, get our parents' rackets, and just go play.
If people listening to this could take one thing away from it, besides all the anal sex talk, I want it to be this.
Yeah.
That tennis is not as affluent as everybody thinks. It's a public sport.
Yeah, you could just go to a court.
Every city.
Plays on poinsettia, you can just go to.
So many public courts. Every city has tons of free tennis. Now, it's also a country club sport. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many rich fucking douchebags.
Right. I worked at Woodmont Country Club.
There we go. Fletch. Think about that Fletch tennis scene. I mean, that's just like the epitome of tennis. But I learned with my family, my mom would pack peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We'd go to the park and play tennis. You know what I mean? So not everyone is a rich kid, but a couple, you know, John McEnroe was a rich kid, and he was also the most famous tennis player of all time because
he was a rich kid.
Yeah, he was a rich kid. Yeah, he was. And he acted like it. He acted like a rich and spoiled brat. I mean, you know, he wins Wimbledon, and the cover of the newspaper in London Times says spoiled brat.
Really?
I mean, that's what it fucking says after he wins Wimbledon. I mean, it's amazing. But he, you know, he gives everybody a bad name. I love John McEnroe, but he gives everybody
a bad name.
Did
you ever get like that?
Oh, dude.
And at what levels did you get like that? When yelled at line judges?
Where I was playing, I played professionally for 4 years, but it was very low.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it was very low level. It was my highest ranking was 864 in the world. So,
In the world.
It's also probably my comedy ranking at this point. But
864, top 1,000 in the world at tennis.
At tennis, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And sadly, Ari, whenever I tell anybody that, they laugh. And it's like my it's greatest terrible. Life achievement. It's my by far the greatest thing I've ever done in life is to be ranked that high. They rank 5,000 tennis players.
Were you ranked lower and then see yourself move up?
Yeah, you moved up. You started. Wow. You start rank 5,000. You work your way up. You get points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every point. It'd be like if you know every time you headlined a set, you got like 5 points.
Like
or
did well. It
you know,
go
you did well.
Up,
right. It goes up.
Just participating with some points.
Yeah. Or showing up to get some points. So, yeah, so it's like super fucking hard to get on the computer at all, and I even got on it. But it's the thing I'm most proud of, and everyone laughs because they go, "Oh, I didn't even know they ranked that many." And it's like, yeah, you know, I get it. You laugh, but anyways, I
got ranked in poker for a while. I was like
1130th,
in the world.
Were you playing online or were you playing
live? I play online a little bit, but I play live tournaments, go to the World Series and shit.
It's cool.
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm ranked.
Isn't it nice to know where you stand?
Yeah.
I always said comedy would be so much more interesting if there was a ranking system because I'm so sick of comics being like, she's not funny or he sucks. It's like, actually, no. He's ranked 121 and you're 280, so shut the fuck up.
What are the categories? Like, how would you decide that? You have to go on a little bit of fame, which fuck it up.
Absolutely.
Because then you get all these like actors who are just starting in comedy. Yep. Like, wait, you're ranked high. You've done comedy 7 times.
Yeah, Screech would be like, it'd have to be, I like how you're thinking. I was just thinking like.
Just laughs?
Yeah, but that there's no way that would work either. You need to do fame, just laughs,
originality of material, peer review,
originality.
Because I remember a set. It was Irvine, and I think it might have been a Comedy Juice, and I think Divine was on that night, way before Workaholics. But Bill Burr was on, and it was I don't want to say right when he started getting good because he was always good.
He was always good,
but when he was hitting that
starting to feel
upper echelon level. And he was changing to be real, like, normal. I mean, I don't know what he was before that. But anyway, there were some people doing that Irvine comedy. Oh, you know, Mexicans are this. Asians of this.
Yeah.
And it would crush. And then Burr would come on, and it wasn't didn't get as many laughs.
Yeah, yeah.
But man,
yeah.
people still remember it afterwards. And
way more.
Like, that was such a good set.
Or his.
But if you just isolated the laughs, you're like, you were probably fourth out of seven.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And yet, the level of difficulty that he was tackling
yeah.
is so much more. I mean, I love.
Yeah, for divers, you can't just go only splash.
No. I love thinking about comics, and this is something I'm trying to do better as a comic, but it's very, very hard.
What?
Improve your level of difficulty by what you write about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a reason Louis can pull off calling his daughter a cunt.
Yeah.
Because he's a masterful joke writer, but
yeah.
certain people can't do that. And Burr would always tackle these crazy high level
Kreisch
difficulties.
Said he saw Louis, he featured for him at Tampa, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, I canceled Tampa. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, shit. Did you?
Yeah, it's too many dates. I was up to 29, and I had to tell my agent, like, we got to pull back, bro.
You just said, you because it's just mental?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be gone 29 weeks. I was like, 24. 24 is my max. And I'd rather have it at 22 and then be able to get some cool festival that pops up
yeah.
in December.
Yeah, so you got two a month. That's a great position to be in. That's kind of like what I would love to do, 2 weeks a month. But I feel like December always gets fucked. So
December's
many,
nothing.
No, I always get a lot in December.
But you're cleaner than me.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, I can't work at all in December.
Interesting. July for me is zero.
Summertime is shit.
July and August, which
unless a fucking Great White North comes calling.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if Just for Laughs goes like, hey, we got a tour. Great. Now my summer's awesome. But generally, it's like fucking.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm going to Edinburgh this year.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
Yeah.
That'll be sweet. But my December is like every club I go to, they're like, we got the corporate party in. And I'm not like super clean, but I'm
clean enough.
Yeah. And I look.
I'm dirty enough. Oh, and you look.
And
clean.
I look like them.
Yeah.
I look like those fucking corporate scumbags that I hate, but I look like them. So I forgot what we were talking about. A lot of tangents here, but you're okay with that, right?
This podcast should be called The Meandering Podcast.
The Meandering.
Topics with a lot of sides.
This is funny. I'm in Ari's house, and Cheryl is a chihuahua.
Yeah.
Sleeping in his lap. It's pretty cute.
She loves that in between the legs with her head right there.
That's so cute.
It's pretty cute.
And there's birds chirping. And
I like the ambient noise that gives
it. It is ambient noise. Is that a bird machine, or is that a real bird?
Yeah.
It's a real bird exactly. machine.
Wait, what was he talking about? So he saw Louis.
Yeah.
And Louis just went from like that weird observational stuff, like talking about stuff that wasn't like he used to talk about like what life would be like in hell, and if you saw some ghoul or yep. goblin, he would try to get you to suck his dick, and then all this really like kind of crazy ideas to get more real. It's like, I have daughters.
Right.
She's an asshole to me sometimes.
Right, right.
And he said he worked with them when he was just starting to do that thing, and he goes, it wasn't going well.
It wasn't going well.
But he was going to find it.
Yeah, but this is something that I struggle with so much. I talked to you about this at the stand-up improvised show that Jeremiah Watkins does. Because you were just like, I'm taping my special next month, and then it's all gone.
It's all gone.
And I was like, dude, are you being serious that it's actually gone? Because what do you do when you go to stand-up live, and there's 400 people sitting there in Phoenix, and you're in week two of your new shit?
Yeah.
What do you fucking do? That's okay, impossible. Well, the ego is real and it exists, and you can't go up there
yeah.
and do an hour of ideas.
No, you can't. If they're paying you on the road, you got to do something old.
I wouldn't want to pay me to go up there for an hour and yeah. do ideas.
So what I would do is if I recorded at the end of October and my special didn't come out till January 13th, which is not enough time.
Not enough time.
2.5 months. There was like two stories that I didn't do.
That's if you're hauling ass 2.5 months, yes.
There were two stories I didn't do. One bit where I was like, this is a 2-minute bit, but I think I can make this into 10 minutes, so I don't want to record this right now. And that was it. So I had 2.5 months to get some material. And after that, it's like, I know fans have seen it.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're going to be like, what? Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't do as well.
Yeah, you just have
like,
to be okay
LA,
with that.
In New York, I'm doing only new stuff.
Yeah.
Unless...
Yeah.
Here's the rule I made for myself. If it's an important set and you're the day after and like you're trying to get into the laugh factory and Jamie Masada is there,
right?
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, do your fucking
stuff.
Do
stuff that you've worked on yeah. for a year, fine, yeah. here, because you're showcasing for something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, unless they're paying you. But even when they're paying you now, I don't do any of that old stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
It's all gone.
I haven't gotten to that point yet of you know.
When's the last time you recorded something?
I put out a CD in January.
This year?
Yeah, but I recorded it in September. So I'm at about 6 months now.
Just
no.
stop doing it in town. Just stop doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I is. It's not being done in town. And it's mostly not being done on the road, but sometimes.
And then, yeah, what I would do is I would try to fill as much time as I could with the yep. stuff that's like yep. pretty good.
Yep.
Maybe a brand new bit that I'm working. But then, yep. then if I got to like 35 minutes, I'm like, well, the next 25
we got to do this. Yeah. I find a great way for me to write on the road is to go into the audience. I don't know if I mean, it's just like they always get you in some tangent, and then you get them making laughing, and then you're always like, okay, that was good. Let's turn that into a bit.
Material out of that
for sure.
Yeah, the problem is when you're working on material, then I have like I feel like I got to work on this, and then I don't get new stuff by fucking around with the crowd.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is what it is, but we're all very fortunate to even have. But sorry to hear you canceled Tampa. What is that place?
Possibly. Oh, the Improv.
Oh, the Improv.
There's
a side
splitters there too, but I haven't done that.
I haven't done side splitters. Yeah, but I used to go to get back to tennis, even though we don't need to.
Yes, no, we
I used to train.
Yeah.
At Hillsborough Community College on Dale Mabry Road in Tampa. After college and went pro, I went down to see this coach named Steve Smith who worked at HCC. And how weird is this? Down the street was Side Splitters Comedy Club.
Oh, really?
And I had always written little jokes down. Even in like high school, I'd always write things down. And I would train all week. And then oftentimes on Friday or Saturday, I would go to Side Splitters and just watch comedy. Isn't that so weird?
Wow.
Thinking about ourselves watching comedy before we even did it.
Yeah. I did it twice. I went to
where?
My girlfriend, Kate Hicks. We went to Comedy Factory Outlet in Baltimore. I saw this MC, and then I went again. The same MC was performing. I think he might have been featuring that night, and it was the same joke.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, "Wait, what?
What are you doing, dickhead?"
It was such a I don't understand.
Is that why don't we understand? People will come up to you. I'm sure that happens to you. Hey, we're gonna come to the next show, and I'm like, it's like the 8 o'clock show. I'll come to the 10. I go, why?
You saw it.
I'm like, I'm gonna do a little different.
That's like finishing the book and then turning it right back over and starting.
Why
it again.
Do you want to do that? Yeah.
I tell them you shouldn't do that. Yes. Like, no, I really want to see it. I'm like, well then don't sit up front. Sit like way in the back.
Sit way in the
I don't
fucking back.
See you again.
Yeah, and you do have to buy in more merchandise.
Yeah, don't tell me. I heard Regan once at the DC Improv did a set and then we sell merch and then somebody came up at the end and was like, hey, we just saw your set. We're actually going to the next show. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he just did an entirely new hour.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
What a dickhead.
But I can't do that.
No, there's no way. I wonder if that's even true. I wonder if that's even true.
No, maybe not. You're right. It could be one of those urban legends.
A whole new hour? Come on. Just in his back pocket? Ready to go? Maybe.
Didn't repeat any of those jokes?
Maybe.
If you got long bits, it could be like 5 bits. And just don't do those 5 bits. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Were there tennis groupies? When you're a pro, when you're college,
in college, there was these two girls that we call them tennis.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Okay, I'm remembering something now, but go ahead.
Okay. Something good or bad?
Neither one.
Yeah. Just something. There were these two girls that used to fuck everybody on our tennis team in college, and we call them tennis-titutes. Isn't that just so stupid and
what
whatever?
What do you mean, tennis-titutes?
Tennis-titutes. If you slept with three of our tennis players or more, you became a tennis-titute. So there were some groupies then, but these girls are like sixes.
Yeah.
Were
they in college?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're in college. And then as a pro, the level I was at was Bull Durham.
Did you tour?
Yeah, you tour. Like you would go to, here, let's tie it back into Jeff Keith. He would go into Southeast Asia for 4 weeks.
Oh, really?
You do like four tournaments. And you could always get laid. Like if you wanted to get laid, you could always get laid. There was always, if you're going to like Southeast Asia, there's always,
what?
When like a tall American tennis player walks in the bar, you can always get laid. But dude, you're not partying, dude.
What do you mean?
You're in bed at fucking 9:30.
Oh, it's a morning sport. It's a daytime sport.
Yeah, all the matches start in the afternoon, but you're not. You can't be fucking hungover, dude. You're competing with your body.
Oh,
it's like there's a couple rich douchebags that just like played the tour with their dad's credit card. But I paid for all of my travel. I sold shares of myself. So people would buy, golfers do this as well.
Oh, poker players do it.
Yeah, exactly. People, for $5,000, you got a share of my tennis career, and I would give you a percentage of my prize money.
Right.
So through the course of this, I raised like $86,000, which is a big number.
But you got to pay for hotels with that.
Everything.
Travel.
That's what I have for my tennis career.
Rackets, yeah.
Everything. I mean, clothing is free.
Right.
Clothing and rackets are free.
Because everyone loves to give you clothes. You're playing professional tennis, like, here, take this.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't getting boxes and boxes but at my level, but I wasn't paying for clothes. Right. I wasn't paying for clothes. So so I've got like $86,000. So if I go to Tokyo and I fuck around at strip clubs and the bars. That's not even my money. It's people who invested in the opportunity that they. So I mean, imagine how you would feel if you went on the road doing as a comedian, and people are like, "Let's go get fucked up." You'd be like, "And it's not even your money. It's people that believed in you, their money." It would be a little different.
Right.
It'd be a little different. So I didn't do a lot of that. But if you wanted to get down and you wanted to fuck, I fucked this girl at a diner in Mexico that was like our server for the week. And she just was like, she liked the American. I barely spoke Spanish. She barely spoke English. And that happened. But that was pretty rare.
Wow.
What were you thinking of before?
Those girls that like brought you into, like the recruiting girls.
The recruiting girls?
Yeah. Where was that? Weren't you at going trying to get into some college and they would like send?
Oh, well, yeah. It's funny how no matter what topic we talk about, it always comes back to girls, to sex.
Tommy DeLutz told me he was a bowler and he said they have bowling groupies too.
Bowling?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was the same shit. Like they were just lower level. But like,
yeah.
If you wanted to hang out, there were people to hang out. But the way he would get groupies is in bowling.
What?
If you didn't make the playoffs, you had to wait there till Sunday because you might make the playoffs, which is the final five.
Depending on standings.
So your flight wasn't until Sunday night or Monday morning. And so if you were done Saturday, you were done. So then you could party Saturday night.
You could party. Right, right, right. Well, in tennis, unless you win the tournament, which very rarely happens.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you win one or twice a year. Maybe.
Yeah.
So you're always losing. And the tournament... The finals were always on Sunday, and if you booked optimistically, you would book your flight for Sunday evening or Monday morning. Same scenario. I would lose like Monday, then I have a fucking week in Seoul or Zihuatanejo, Mexico, or wherever the fuck it was. So sometimes I would get in a night, but you know, that's not the way you climb the ladder. You're supposed to fucking not do that shit.
What do you mean? What are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to keep training and go to sleep early and
even when you're out of a tournament, you have no games left to play.
I mean, yeah, you got to fucking practice. I mean,
when they're out, do they still let you use the facility?
Yeah, for sure, but not during match times. You got to wake up early and get the courts, and it's the same. It's exactly same as being a comic, dude. You want to get a set in. If you go to Portland to visit your friend and you're at a comedy club, you want to get a fucking set in. Like you in comedy or in tennis, you need to be practicing all the time.
Right. Would you play against the other guys that had also lost in the tournament?
Yeah, and it's so weird. Sometimes
because they're top-level guys.
They're top-level guys. And, dude, sometimes, like, I travel to Mexico City with this guy named Alex Witt, who played at Northwestern, and we get there, and we're sharing a hotel room, and we check in, then they make the draw, and who do I play first round?
Alex motherfucking
Witt. Alex fucking Witt, dude. You play like the guy that you're sharing a fucking hotel room with. You're literally like saying, good night, dude. What time you want to wake up tomorrow? So we can play each other for money in a professional tennis tournament. Wow. I mean, it's fucking so weird. That part's weird.
Wow.
It'd be like if you went to a comedy fest and they're like, okay, Ari Shaffir versus Michael Costa tomorrow morning. It'd be fucking weird.
Versus.
It'd be kind of fun.
It would be fun. The contest part of comedy is like,
it's the worst.
It's not supposed to be about that.
It's the worst.
Tennis is like golf. It's like, these are like, you can say this is exactly the protocol to decide who's better.
Isn't it great?
Comedy doesn't have that. So now it's like you're talking about like taste on top of art.
I agree. And one thing I love about tennis, there are lines people, but it's not judged subjectively like figure skating or surfing even. Like I was watching surfing
baseball, the strike zone is like...
What the fuck is the strike zone?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? And what is that box that they keep showing me on TV? Is that a real box?
No.
Like I know it's not real at the batter's box, but does the umpire have some access to that?
No.
So it's just for the viewer.
Yeah, they're like, this is about where he calls.
But it's literally an approximation.
But it's like if you start him inside and slowly move pitches out, the umpire has to say, wait, when is he out of the strike zone? So if you slowly move him out like that, he'll call wider strikes.
For sure.
Because it doesn't seem like, if you go one in and one out, he's like, oh, right, that one's a ball.
Dude, I don't understand why they're not just going to start putting that box and just using that box as, like, they can do it with the technology.
If you paint the rubber, too, if you get right on the line twice and he calls them strikes and you get the same spot the third time, he's like, I can't call that.
Right, because I already gave it to you twice or whatever. Yeah. I do like human error in sport. I do like that. And
not from the refs.
Huh?
Not from the refs. To me, it's like in tennis. Okay, when you're playing tennis yourself, you call your own ins and outs. Right?
In college, you call your own lines.
Oh, really?
But there's always a lines person that you can appeal to, you know, and that's... there's an art to the appeal. Like if you go, hey, how did you see that call? that never gets overruled. But if you go, hey, that ball was in, right? They go like, you're right, that ball was in.
Oh, really?
There's a whole fucking art to that whole thing.
Oh.
But the tournaments you're watching on TV, those players are not making their own calls. That's just a lines person. And that's what Johnny Mack would go so fucking nuts over, because they would make so many mistakes. They would be inconsistent, and he would go fucking nuts on their ass.
Do you like the review they have now where they can actually
I love it.
Yeah,
I love
me too.
It. I love
Settles
it.
Settles the argument. It's, yep, that was in.
It's changed the game. It's changed the
sport. Do they use that in the games?
They use it
in the matches?
You get three challenges per set.
So you can go to the computer.
Correct. Isn't that amazing?
What if you get it right three times?
You can get it right unlimited.
Oh, you get three wrongs.
You get three wrongs.
So if you want a challenge like and you were wrong, that's one down.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But if it's set point, you're like, well, I may as well use it.
Yeah, they use it all the time. And one of my favorite things was Roger Federer, who I believe is the greatest tennis player to ever live. He once disagreed with it. He disagreed with the computer. He goes, I know that shot was in. They're like, the ball was out. The computer says it's out. And he was like, the computer's wrong. And I just fucking love that he said that. I love that he said the fucking computer's wrong. But it's still not 100% accurate. It's a 1/32nd plus or minus of an inch. Because it's the computer guessing based off of triangular, whatever the fuck it is. I can't say it. So anyways, but I like it in tennis, but I hate watching like figure skating. I know you're a big figure skating fan. I hate watching figure skating and then the judge. So everything's judged. It's like, oh, their costume's nice. They're worth, I mean. What
if you go first?
You're fucked.
Like, I can't give you tens because then if someone's better than you, then we've left ourselves no room.
You're absolutely fucked.
They should
no
watch
sports.
Them all, then rewatch them and give the points based on that.
I agree with you. And if my daughter that I don't have ever became a figure skater, I don't know what I would do. Because she's already judged so much in life. But a female is already judged so much in life. And now you're going to put her in a sport that like gymnastics.
Oh, they judge them based on their looks too.
Looks.
If they're like t-shirts untucked. Like,
there was like Oksana Bayul, that famous Russian skater. One thing she had going against her was that she wasn't really pretty. She was the best figure skater. But it's just like, come on, what is happening here? What is Cheryl doing? What is she eating?
Eating, yeah.
Oh, okay. Food. I thought she sounds. Cheryl's over here writing jokes, you guys. That's how much of a comedy apartment
she's
this is.
On her pen.
Why does boxing? Why is there judging in?
I don't know. But when I go to a lot of UFC stuff, and what I hate more than anything is not when the judges are off one round. If it's three rounds, 29-28 would be they go 10-9.
Right.
10 if you win, 9 if you lose.
Okay.
So 30-27 would be all you won all three rounds.
Right.
29-28, 28-29.
Right.
27-30.
Right.
But sometimes there'll be a split decision. You'll win 29-28 on two cards. I'll win 29-28 on one.
But then
that's, I can deal with like, it was a close call. This guy calls it the other way.
Yep.
What I hate is when you get it 30-27
and then,
on any one card and I get it 28-29 the other way. And it's like, what, two rounds off?
Yeah.
How do they know if they're up or not?
Well, MMA, UFC is definitely going to move into the range that boxing did, and that like money's going to start influencing so much.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
I got UFC number one.
You got it.
My brother and I pay per viewed it, and it, I don't know if you
remember it. Yeah,
it was like a karate guy and then like a sumo guy, and they just were
crazy.
And they would just go until I think you were dead.
One round, just keep going,
and you would just go forever.
Somebody taps out, or
finally they changed the rules, but that was like no judges. None of that bullshit. Now, it's going to start to get shady,
dude. Yeah,
there's
no point to having judges because you just go till it's done.
You go till it's done.
I like them. They did in Pride. They would go a 5-minute round and a 10-minute round. I forget which one was first.
What was that?
5-minute round was first. What Pride.
Oh, I don't remember Pride.
Because if at 7 minutes into a round, you're so tired, you're opening yourself up to more shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
People get knocked out.
Dude, go jump rope for 3 minutes. You'll be fucking dead. And
then
these motherfuckers are doing that and then taking hits and, you know. Ugh.
Wrestling. And then it comes down to like the judges, if they say who won overall or like who was winning when the fight ended. It's up to them.
This is
not like exact.
This is my whole complaint with the Rose battle that I've told Brian Moses a billion times.
What's your complaint?
The judges don't have any criteria to judge.
Right.
Is it the best joke?
Yeah.
Is it round by round?
It's up to the judges.
Is it exactly? It's just so fucking random. And
exactly. Is it the best joke or is it the entire round? I took some guy leveled somebody in a prelim when I was judging. Totally dominated. No.
Oh, okay. Because that's
But every time you would go to make a joke, this other dude who won would interrupt and then go with his own joke. He's like, oh, you can't get it out. And then interrupt. Wham. And I was like, dude, the rules are you got to let it out.
You got to let the motherfucker.
You weren't letting the fucking punchlines hit because you were stepping on it. And I don't care if I didn't get any jokes. I'm giving it to him.
Yeah. And people got pissed at you.
No, the guy just, he won the other two judges, so it was okay. But I'm like, I'm a rules guy, and you didn't let him get it out, so we don't know if he would have been good or not.
Obviously, we're talking about something that, you know, is just a fun, like, show. But they need, if anytime there's a judge, you need criteria.
And you know what they do, too? If I beat you hard in the first round, and you come close to beating me in the second round, always, but don't, you'll get
always,
the second round.
Always. Always. They always do that. But I get it. It's a fucking show. It's a show. But judges need criteria. What I love about tennis is that...
There we go.
Very, very... it's down to the players. It's not down to the judge. The judges should not be there. I hate pass interference in the NFL. Eliminate pass interference. You can do whatever you want to get the fucking football. Both sides.
Both sides.
Eliminate it.
Grab somebody.
Why is pass interference even called ever?
Yeah.
Let both parties have the same... level playing field. You want to punch the guy in the fucking eyes? Ari is literally putting Cheryl's mouth in his mouth right now. This is great. Pass interference is garbage, and it should deserve to be gone.
I think they're going to try to turn replay now. To where it's
great. So the games can be 7 hours long?
Yeah. Only on called pass interferences. No, like that should have been pass interference, but like if you didn't, like, hold on. How are you going to call that?
I'm so over fucking pro football. I hope America is too, and
they
guess
slow
what?
It down.
They're not. They slowed it down so
still
bad.
The most. Watch sport.
By far the most profitable. Ray Rice punches his fiance in the face twice on TV.
I didn't understand though. Like, he said, I punched my fiance in the face and knocked her out. And they said, okay, you're banned for 2 games. And they showed the video of him punching her in the face and knocking her out. And they said, now you're banned for 1 year.
Yeah, or I think it was 4 games at first.
Yeah. But I'm like, nothing changed.
It was exactly the same.
It really does show you, like, when comics have to deal with, like, outrage over some joke, it's like, it's just because people are facing it right now.
That's it.
And now it's like, oh, well, that's horrible. It's like, you're just seeing it.
You're just seeing
it. You know what it is.
Yeah.
It's how we can compartmentalize and not be upset about the fucking 300,000 civilians that have died in Iraq.
Oh, fuck.
Because we don't actually have to see a 3-year-old kid with no parents now. We don't have to see it. So we're like, yeah, we don't really let it in.
And not only that, your portrayal of our soldiers is that at the last baseball game you went to, the catcher with the mask, as a surprise, took the mask off and went up and ran to his son who was throwing the first pitch at. It's always like a positive portrayal of a fucking soldier. Anyways, that was a long roundabout way.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know those videos on YouTube that have like 8 million views? It's like some surprise, some girl gets to do something, and then the guy takes his mask off, and it's her dad who flew home from Iraq, and everyone's crying happy. No, that's not happy. Yeah. He shouldn't have been in Iraq in the first fucking place.
Taylor wanted to, and people are like, they're protecting our freedoms. Like, no, they're protecting the interests of the crooked crooked politicians who order them over there.
Correct.
Like, I'm on the soldier's side. Don't go there.
You know how I support the troops? I want to fucking stay right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to stay right here and to get the fucking
was in the
Mexicans out.
With Renazisi and somebody.
Where? In, Dutch?
The Cowboys.
Netherlands.
Giants games. Giants game. And
Meadowlands.
Meadowlands.
I thought you said the Netherlands. Oh, I think right. I saw that picture. You were with Adam, too.
Yeah, eBay was there, too.
Yeah.
But at halftime, they trotted up some guy and like
here we
some
go.
Real estate company.
Here we go.
Was like, she's home from Iraq. She helped protect us. Her and her husband are both, you know, soldiers, and we're giving them their own house, everybody. Everybody cheers like we did it. And I was just like, I just watched Hunger Games.
It kills me, dude.
And then it's just like, they're just like whipping out fucking.
It's the same fucking thing.
Mocking, whatever her name is.
Yep.
To say, look, she's from District 12.
Dude, it's.
We're doing it. Don't look at your poverty. We're doing it.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Quiet the masses.
My friends in Michigan would fucking hate to hear me say this because their dads are veterans, blah, blah, blah. But
guys, it used to be that way, and now they realize, oh, we can get people rah, 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 so we'll just do it when it's not really called for.
And let's be honest. Even Cheryl's exasperated. Let's be honest. Killing and chasing and fighting Nazis was the perfect enemy.
But they realized.
Everyone fucking hated them.
Uh-huh.
That I can get behind. But then realize you can do that with anybody.
That same feeling,
yes.
And we'll apply it to this.
Yes.
They try to get that fucking stadium taken away.
Which one?
The fucking Chargers and the Raiders are trying to build a stadium.
In Carson.
Yeah, in Carson.
What about
it? And they hired one of the old guys who worked for Homeland Security saying it's a terrorist threat.
Oh,
they hired him to say it's a terrorist threat because it's so close to the airport. Even though it's further away from the airport, AEG hired him. Because they wanted that plan
insane.
Taken away so they get their St. Louis Rams. So they're just using terrorism and the threat of terrorism.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And that's when you realize everyone's co-opted it. It's not real anymore.
I can't wait for that Hollywood Park to be built, which it will. And it's going to fuck up construction for a decade.
Yeah.
and then for no one to go to the football games. LA doesn't want a football team.
You don't think so?
No. Do you think they do?
I think they do now.
Really?
It's been 20, 25 years.
So what?
I think they want
it's
one
fucking
football
sunny.
Team, though.
It's March, whatever it is.
Chargers love their team.
They don't really show up.
I think they show up, but they don't care if they win or lose.
Yeah, I think it's like...
Because they have barbecues.
Yeah, it's like when you go to have you ever been to a cricket match overseas?
Fuck no.
Yeah, I love going to cricket. Dude, you go. Next time
really?
You're in... Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Maybe you watch a little bit of the cricket.
Yeah.
You're there to fucking cricket. Have a picnic and drink wine and... It's
really?
You don't know what the fucking score is. You leave and you have no clue what the score is. Yes, that's what... Dude, that's... We got off on a tangent on that one, boy.
Yeah. Okay, but, so tell me about these girls when you were recruited. That's what it was.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh, my
that's
God.
Who hasn't smoked pot yet today.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I know like at Texas, they had the 40 lovers. That's what they called them.
Pardon?
Yeah, Texas. Because, you know, in tennis, there's the 40 love as a score.
Oh,
you know,
40 lovers, yeah.
It's just these super hot chicks that just take you around. We didn't have it at Illinois, but when I did your story show at the Improv or whatever, I told a story about how I went as a recruit to Illinois and this woman named Sarah, I forget her name, but she was fucking perfect, dude. First of all, I'm 17. All I'm doing is fucking this one girl on her ass. I don't really know what a real woman is like. And this girl is like a junior or senior in college. She's beautiful. She's perfect. And she comes out to me. She's flirting with me. She starts dancing with me. I'm like, dude, it was unbelievable. She kisses me on the mouth, and then she bounced.
Who is she? Where is she? Where did you find her?
She is just at this bar.
She was at the bar.
I'm 17. She's at the bar. She knew the tennis players that were recruiting me to come to Illinois.
The other players would try to get you to go.
Right.
Okay.
That's what happens. And so... She goes, I really hope you come here next year. You know, you think it'd be great for the team. These are great guys. We'd love to have you. Kisses me on the mouth and leaves. I mean, unbelievable,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
So the next year, I go to Illinois. Is that why I went to Illinois? No, it's not. But was it in the back of my mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Fucking Ari. It was in the back of my mind. So I see her at some other bar, and I'm like, holy shit. This is 8, 9 months, 10 months later. There's fucking Sarah. Oh, my God. I'm excited. I go talk to her. She's like, hi, who are you? Whatever. And then my buddy comes up. And he's like, Sarah, this is the guy. Remember, I gave you $20 to dance with him on his recruiting visit? And I was like, you fucking.
Oh.
But that's that.
$20.
$20. I know. Yeah, what is fucking $20? Right. What the fuck is $20? But yeah, you do whatever you can. And this is tennis. Imagine if you're like, you know, a great basketball player or a great football player.
What was that Ray Allen movie?
He got Blue game? Chips? He got game?
I think so.
He got Blue
Spike
Chips?
Lee won.
Is it called He Got.
Ray Allen wasn't in Blue Chips.
No, I don't know what the fuck.
But he was recruited, and he was fucking like two white girls, and they were like, "Oh, they're like trying to get the guy to play there."
It's not like that in tennis, but shit like that goes down.
You think of the upper level ones?
Oh fuck
like
yes,
University of Miami.
Yes, University of Miami. Absolutely. I mean, it's they, dude. I drank on every single recruiting trip,
even though you're underage.
I'm 17 years old.
Wow,
17. I took visits to, and I hope they all get indicted. University of North Carolina, Miami,
Chapel Hill?
Miami, Florida, University of Kentucky, Lexington, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, University of Illinois, and Northwestern. You get drunk. That's what you do.
Wow.
On every single recruiting trip, you get drunk. Yeah, so whatever. That's tennis. Imagine like...
My friend knew this girl, cocksucker at Michigan. They called her cocksucker behind her back for a while.
Oh, my
she
God.
She loved fucking the guys on the football team.
Oh, good.
And one time she showed up and she was all like bruised and like... Her face is all cut up.
At Michigan.
Yeah.
You know people in Michigan?
I knew a guy who used to go, yeah.
And they called her cocksucker. That's a terrible nickname.
And eventually they start calling it to her face. Like, hey, what's up, cocksucker? She didn't, I don't think she minded. But she was all bruised up. She's like, what happened? She goes, I hooked up with so-and-so, one of the wide receivers. But she was kind of gross. And he knew, it's kind of like the girls at the comedy store. There's a few girls there that are just like, I hate to say it like this, but pass arounds.
Yeah.
And... Look, it's not for me, but I get it. It's doing a service for the comedy community.
It's doing a service for the comedy community, and sometimes maybe that's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. I have been there before,
but
I don't go there a lot.
What's the term, like road hot? You know, like when you're on the road and like, mm-hmm. she's road hot. You know, like, I would never do this in my hometown, but, you know,
good enough.
But that's like what some of these...
She said the guy... They talked to the guy afterwards.
Cocksucker, you mean?
Yeah, they talked to the guy who was fucking her. He goes, I was fucking her, and then I realized what I was doing, that I was sitting here fucking cocksucker, and I got so mad at myself that I just started punching her.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
Was it Ray Rice?
Punching her as I'm, yeah. Dude,
that is fucked up. But there's why do these girls want to go after an athlete? Like, I don't get it. At least with comedy, you're
maybe because they want to do that. I mean, I get it.
At least with comedy, you're making them laugh with your brain. But they got great bodies.
Guy.
They got great bodies, I guess.
I mean, if there was some movie star, celebrity, I don't know. Celebrity's a weird thing. And if your thing is Michigan football.
We were talking before we were on record, and we're not going to say your name, but we have a mutual friend that if you're talking to her and then there's someone of more higher status behind you, she drops you and she's gone. And then she's gone on that person.
It's so fucking weird and gross. It's the worst thing in this industry, the climbers.
And don't they know that if you're just genuine, you have a better chance of making it anyways? Like, you really do. Do you think if you sleep your way, it fucking works?
I mean, no. And it's not even the girls, because this one you're like doesn't really sleep.
Just doesn't even
just
sleep.
Just goes to talk to. Yes. And I know girls like that too.
Flirts.
And boys too that are climbers.
Sure.
There's something to be, I'm trying to think on their end of it. Like, there's something to be like, if I'm talking to you, and then Nick Youssef is, so it's not like a social level thing,
right.
But he's only in town for a minute or something, or he's going to leave for the night. For them to be like, oh, hang on a second, I'm going to go talk to Nick for a second.
Right.
That seems like justified.
Yeah.
And now I'll try to apply that to a climbing situation. It's like, oh, Seth Rogen is here. I got to go talk to, it's just gross.
I don't get it. It's weird. I do understand networking is part of the deal. It's important to know everybody and show your face and be good at your job. But dude, there's so many scummy chicks here like that. That's one thing I loved about New York. I didn't find in New York the comedy people weren't doing that as much.
Uh-uh.
They weren't. Now the girls there want money. They will climb for money in New York.
Money, absolutely.
Oh, you got money? Fucking, I'm out. I'm over that guy.
Well, they want to get treated that way. That's what they look for in a guy. But what I saw in New York a lot too was like the people that hook up with girls in New York were just girls from the show.
Right.
Girls that were in the audience. And then it's like, show's over. It's like, what are you guys doing now? It's New York. Boom. We can be out for the next 7 hours if we want.
There's a bar across the street that has dollar shots.
Let's go over there.
Yeah, let's go there. If I think New York would be totally,
Because I think it's because there's less development deal opportunities.
Totally.
There's less, like, I'm going to put you in a movie opportunities.
Yes.
So the only climbing is to get better on stage or to get stage time. So maybe the open mic level, there's like more climbing, but like, it's just about stage time there.
Yeah. And, somebody here, I guess, could put you in their quote unquote movie or TV show, whereas they're.
But they ain't gonna. But
they're not gonna. They're not gonna. They could, I guess. You don't fuck a girl and go, you know what? You should play my sister in my sitcom that I have right now. That doesn't happen. I don't think. Does it?
I don't know, man.
Write in. Tell me.
It might. I mean, it might.
Cheryl is just a sound asleep.
I heard Michael Bay does this thing where says to the extras or goes to get PA, go to the extras, see those three girls, find out one of them wants to have sex with me at lunch, and I'll make them a featured extra.
And which means they get like SAG credit or whatever, right?
Or anyway, but I remember watching Transformers, the movie, and there was a scene where all the remember Transformers?
Yeah, I mean the first one,
the vending machines come to life, like the whatever the thing is, making all machines come to life, and everything's mayhem, and there's one cute girl in this blue dress. And they just pan on her for a second. And I was like, wait, who is this? How come
why is she there?
It seemed like it was almost like a callback to something that got cut out. It was so weird, you know? And I was like, this. And then I found out later, oh, Michael Bay is fucking over his own art for the sake of getting his dick.
Well, he's
dick
fucking
wet.
Over his own art forever. I mean, but she's probably pretty hot, huh?
She was pretty hot.
I'm sure. So, what is that worth it?
Maybe. I want to track her down. I found out who it is.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you find her IMDb page?
Yeah, she's in the perfect position to talk to her.
Get her on the
because
fucking show.
If she became giant like Jennifer Aniston, then there's no way she's going to talk.
Right.
If she's out of the industry and she's living in fucking Michigan now.
She's over with it.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yep.
But she had the experience and she's still trying to get ahead.
Can you get her on the podcast?
I will try to do that.
Get her on the podcast.
I want to.
Yeah.
When you were in college, how was being on the tennis team there? Was it constant practice and shit?
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
Even off-season? Is there a season?
Yeah, I mean, we were the number one ranked tennis team in the country.
Really?
Yes.
Would you play indoors?
We played indoors half the year, outdoors the other half the year. I mean, it moved around like USC, Georgia, Stanford, UCLA, but Illinois was very, very good tennis team, and we practiced like crazy. And in the summers, you'd play pro tournaments and.
Oh, you know, really? Wait, you play pro tournaments in the summer? As an amateur?
It's kind of like how college baseball players. they play for their baseball team, but then in the summer they do like the Cape Cod League, or they go like play.
Well, you can't get paid for that though, can you?
You cannot get paid for it. Now the rule is you can take up to $10,000 of prize money as long as it goes to your expenses. But when I was playing, you couldn't take any money.
That sucks. You do have expenses.
Oh, dude, it's such the fucking NCAA.
Phil Mickelson won a pro tournament as an amateur when he was still at like Arizona. I think he went to.
Are you for real?
Yeah, and they just gave the money to everyone else.
Yeah,
he got
yeah.
the trophy, and that was it.
Oh, that sucks, dude. That sucks. Yeah. I mean, and
but
he,
I mean, imagine winning a trophy.
Did he turn pro quickly after that?
I don't know. When he saw, like, I just gave up $300,000.
Yeah, and maybe more than that.
Now it's like $1 million. Back then it was less.
So,
Tiger.
You know, I would play tournaments in the summer. And, yeah, I mean, it was, dude, it was full time. And it's a lot of fun. Those people become your best friends. You spend a lot of time together. But it's not a very balanced life. It's like tennis all the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were there rules? Oh, wait. What's the name of your CD?
My name of the CD is Comedy for Attractive People. And
if you can't tell from audio, Michael Costa is a stunning human.
And you can buy it if you're ugly, but you're not going to like it.
It's not for ugly people.
It's not written for you. No, it's Comedy for Attractive People. It's on my website, michaelcosta.com. It's on iTunes, Amazon, all that shit. So, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug.
You're welcome. Well, we didn't say the title then. Why wait till the end? Are you going to be anywhere coming up?
When is this going to come out?
Not for a week or two.
Okay, I'll be at the San Francisco Punchline September 19th, or March 19th to 21st. You think it'll be out by then?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, and if not then how about...
That's April. What do you got in April?
How about Hilarities in Cleveland, the end of April? April 27th, 26th.
Headlining.
Headlining.
MichaelCosta.com.
MichaelCosta.com.
Go to Hilarious. Cool. I've heard that's one of the best clubs. That was the last club.
Have you not played there?
Uh-uh.
It's fun.
I got on the schedule.
It's super fun.
What's his name? Stanhope was only doing rock clubs when he just like fuck
yep.
comedy
fuck
clubs.
Comedy clubs.
That was the last one he was doing. It was the only one that was still on the schedule every year. Hilarious.
It's great because it's in this like cool downtown part of Cleveland, but the club, the theater, it's in a basement and no one's cell phone works.
Oh, great.
So it's like how comedians it used to be for us.
Sure.
No one's checking their fucking... It's also a very well-run room, and the managers wouldn't let that happen anyways. But just everyone just puts their...
People do it. They just get in their lap.
Dude, it's so fucking annoying.
Okay, and then you got right back out again.
They fucking go quick. I'll be right there.
Getting warmer, Matt. I was going back to the back of the main room, you know,
dude,
through that hallway, and I saw somebody from the showroom sitting on the steps where you take the ladder out, sitting on the steps typing on her phone. And to her credit, she left the showroom to do it.
Yeah.
But as I was walking, I was like, you're missing a show. You're at a comedy show.
I know. A real...
You can't wait for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Put everyone else on hold for 2 hours while you live your life?
I did a spot last night, and two different women, one in the very front row, stage left,
yeah,
one stage right, was texting. And I address it immediately. I don't know. It's not. I don't want to do it. I only worked for 15 minutes yesterday. I was excited about my set. I drove there with like new shit to try. I was pumped. And then I see her, and
it's so rude. It's like I'm ignoring you.
Yeah, it's exactly. And not only that,
the feeling is when you're doing it at dinner, and somebody's like in the middle of a word, like, "Oh, you're not listening."
What the fuck? And you can't listen to both.
No, and they go, "Uh-huh."
Yeah,
uh-huh. You weren't listening.
And not only that, you see them look down, and then you see the six people behind them look at her looking down.
Oh yeah.
So she just eliminated seven people
right,
from the show.
The movie theater. You do that. You're also the people next to you are looking over at you. Here's what I do now. Sometimes I will see it, start a new bit, keep going, finish. Like it's a short bit, finish, and they go, "Okay, guys, I have something to show you real quick." And I go, "You, excuse me, on the cell phone." And they look up. I go, "What was I talking about?"
Oh, that's great. And they have
what was my last 3 minute bit?
I love that.
And they have no clue. And that's how I can prove like you're missing your.
You're
life.
Missing it. Yes. And then they go. I had one in Grand Rapids. I said. Why do you keep doing this to me? So, and she goes, "Well, say something funny, right?" And it's just that whole fucking thing every
so
time.
Rude.
And then the husband.
That's when I want to be like, get out.
I wish I could fucking say get out. That place, the husband then looks at me like, "I'm so sorry." Like, right. And I'm looking at him like, "I'm sorry that you have to fucking spend your life with this fucking thing." It fucking drives me insane. Those are that's an advantage for the performers 30 years ago. They didn't have to deal with any of that shit.
Yeah.
Talked to an old comic, they had to like fax their avails in. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, the email now. The Comedy Store still hasn't gone to the email system.
No. Why the fuck not?
Still got a call, but you got to call on Monday between fucking 12 and 5. Otherwise, you're fucked for the week.
And then I hate that you still don't know. Like, if I put in avails for Friday, Saturday, I still don't know until Thursday afternoon.
So you can't make your plans.
Even though Laugh Stub has already confirmed to me that I have shows on, Friday.
Can you tell me when it is, please?
Yes, I just would like to make plans.
Nah, we don't call until Thursday.
Dude.
Man, the stand is so much better. Like, here's April.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't like, I'd rather do it weekly like LA does.
I like how half and half in New York. So you can get your month spots at Stand Up New York and the stand.
Right.
And then fill in. You see, you have an off night. Like, well, I'm not going to call into the cellar that night. I want my night off tonight.
Yeah. I don't know the cellar. I don't know how to get in the cellar. I walked in there one time and they said, you got to buy a ticket and have two drinks. And I go, I'm not doing that.
I'll walk you in there next time.
No, it isn't. It's all good. I'm just saying that's how it is. But I don't like in New York how you had to plan my next month.
Month, yeah.
Because you don't
but
know.
But they'll also allow you to be like, oh, by the way, I'm going to the Kid Rock concert. I can't do next Tuesday.
I'm going
to
buy tickets. Okay, cool, yeah, no problem. That's true. That's true. That's true.
It's just like a guide. And then you end up picking up spots when other people
because they text you and go, I want to go to a Kid Rock concert.
Were you allowed to play NCAA tournament brackets when you were playing
technically,
tennis?
No. And it's a good question. And our coach would always... You know, we had like the head coach that was like, do whatever you want, just don't get fucking caught.
Right.
And then we had the assistant coach that was like, that's not what he means. You absolutely cannot do this. You know, like the policer. But
it's so weird, a $2 pool, and you're like, uh-uh.
Technically, no. Like my best friend, Mark Fisher, he's the assistant basketball coach at San Diego State.
Yeah.
His dad's the head coach. I would call him and be like, hey, man, you think like, you know, Penn is going to beat Wichita State? And he'd be like, don't even fucking ask me that. He'd go, I don't even talk to me. Because he's like in college basketball.
Right.
And their team is ranked. So like he can't even go there. But technically, if our coach found the brackets like on our locker rooms and stuff, he would take them and throw them away. You can't do
really?
It. But we all did that shit.
Yeah.
The NCAA is such a scam artist, dude. They're a
scam artist.
They're a fucking billion company. They don't give two shits about the student athletes.
They don't. It's a money.
They put these ads out that say, like, most student athletes go on to other careers. You don't give two fucks about
most
them.
Most because they don't have fucking careers because you guys are taking advantage of them and they can't become pros in this.
I benefited from the collegiate athletics because tennis doesn't make any money anyways.
So you had to get your degree.
You had to get my degree. But these football players, they get hit in the head over and over again. And
Michael Bennett, I think that was his name, he said like the NCAA saying that they'll give you a free degree is like a restaurant saying they'll give you a free burger.
There we go.
It costs them nothing. They've devalued it because you haven't earned it, so you haven't actually learned anything. They're just like, here, we're writing a piece of paper and hand it to you.
Well, a great example of this is like Penn State gets caught molesting children.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Sandusky. And Penn State is one of the more money generating college programs that exist.
Sure.
And any other school would have gotten the death penalty, but because Penn State is so successful, they just get a $60 million fine. Right. I mean, they paid that with PayPal. They
that means we broke even last year.
The president fucking had his PayPal account on his phone and just sent it over to him. But it's just, it's sadly, it's cliche to say, but it's just very, very money driven.
And all these court cases, you see that? Look, who's the guy from UCLA that's suing them?
It's been like a 12-year lawsuit. Ed O'Bannon. The basketball player.
That guy's brilliant. I'm so on Ed O'Bannon's side.
Love him.
And all the court cases, they're saying, like, we couldn't afford this. If we had to pay the student-athletes, I'm just letting you know, we would have to end football here.
Yeah.
And they go, wait a minute. But that rule was the same for 5 years ago? And he goes, yeah, same as 5 years ago. But then 3 years ago, you got an Under Armour contract for $12 million.
Now you can do it.
So you couldn't afford to pay them, but then you added $12 million and you still can't afford to pay them?
Right, right. He's fucking smart as balls. He has been suing them for 12 years.
Yeah.
The whole reason they don't want to pay an athlete anything, and the reason, because as soon as you pay them, now they unionize, and now there's workers' comp.
They should get some of the money.
They should get all of that shit. They should get all that shit.
Money's coming in, you get some of the money.
But it's a brilliant play on the NCAA's part because...
It's all about amateurism.
Because
an amateur.
Right.
We can't pay you, you're not an amateur. Who gives a shit?
You only have 4 years in college, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Ed O'Bannon was like, I don't care if I have 4 years. I'm going to sue you the rest of my life.
Right.
I fucking love that he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother, Charlie O'Bannon,
yeah.
UCLA? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he played there too.
Do you play the guitar? Whose is that?
That's Benji.
Benji.
Serenade's girlfriend. Do you still have a love for tennis now?
Absolutely. I love tennis. I love watching it. I wake up at 3 a.m., and watch the Australian Open final live
really?
In Australia. I love tennis. There's some tennis, but there's some comics that dig tennis.
Fox.
Kurt Fox likes tennis.
Kevin Christie's been playing lately.
Who?
Kevin Christie.
Yeah, Kevin Christie. He loves talking about tennis.
Does he really?
I try to avoid him at the I hope he's listening. He follows me around the Comedy Store. And then when I talk to him, he goes, hey, we should play tennis. And everybody always, whenever you talk about tennis, everybody always does it with the hand. Oh, really? We should go play tennis sometime. And it's like, John Heffron has a great joke about that. He's like, you do that with no other sport. Like, golfers do, like, hey, we should go golf. But he's never like, hey, we should go fishing sometime. You know, like, yeah. He acts it out. It's fucking funny. I still love tennis. I'll be playing tonight at Donna Mills' house. Come on by if you want. Catch me tonight at Donna Mills.
I have a rules question for you. And yeah. I also had something else, but I've forgotten that. So let's see. Here's my rules question. I was playing when I was little. Because this guy, Ami Butler, was undersized.
Ami?
Yeah.
Wow. Was this at the Maccabiah Games?
No.
Were you playing for the Argentine tennis team?
Just in Kent Mill. He was crushing him. I was better than him at the time.
Are you left-handed?
No.
Okay.
But he finally returned a shot, lunged for it, returned it, but got some backspin on it, went over the net. I wasn't going to get there. Bounced and came back over the net to his side.
Yep.
Bounced twice on his side. Where's the point?
So he hit the shot, landed on your side, and then back over across the net.
Yeah.
It's his point. Yeah. So you're allowed to hit that ball, and you're allowed to hit the ball over.
I can reach over the net and hit it?
You can't touch the net, though. As soon as you touch the net, the point is over.
But if I reach all the way over without touching it, and just right before it hits the ground, I just let it tap my racket and bounce?
You win the point.
So, wow.
You win the point. And it's funny you bring this up because...
30 years I've been wanting to know 30
years.
That.
Is that crazy? Yeah, that's crazy. I was playing yesterday, last night, and I play against this guy named Derek Rustagno. Derek Rustagno was a former professional who had match points on Boris Becker and was top 30 in the world. And he hit one of those shots to me. He was fucking around. He's so good, he just fucks around. He's now like a
chops at it.
He did this like chop spin. It's coming at me. I know what's going to happen. I know as soon as it bounces, it's gonna go
some
back over.
Spin,
so yeah. I start running to the other side. But the shit he hit was so nasty. It fucking hit, and then it just went over, and I couldn't get to it. But it's a great shot.
Can you run around the net?
If you want to, but it just takes longer. Yeah. You can jump the net.
Oh.
You can jump the net, but dude, don't do that. You'll fucking break everything. And every tennis player has a friend that won a match and then was jumping the net in... like celebration, and they like break their wrist or some shit.
But they catch the net on
you catch it on your foot. Dude, it's
lower.
Fucking brutal, dude.
As you're
it's
celebrating.
Fucking brutal. I had a friend.
So embarrassing.
I had a friend named Amir Delic. Amir, I hope you're listening. He was at 6-all in the third set of a regional championship, and he missed a shot.
Yeah.
And he got mad, and he took his hand, and he hit the back curtain of the indoor facility. Uh-huh. And the back curtain, he hit a fucking cement pole, and he broke his hand. He had to default the match.
Oh.
He was in the third set. He had to fucking default the match.
Wow.
The thing I love about tennis is you learn how to handle your anger and emotion by yourself. In every other sport, there's somebody that comes out and goes, Ari, get your shit together. You can't fucking punch the center in the face. Ari, don't yell at the referee. In tennis, you make all those mistakes by yourself.
Because you can't even have a coach with you, right?
You can have a coach.
Nobody can talk to you during the match?
No one's allowed to talk to you during the match.
Even in NCAA, he can't come up and say, okay, even between games?
In college, they can talk to you in between games. And they do, and they calm you down.
But not during a game.
In the juniors, not during the game. When you sit down, call a changeover, uh-huh. They can come up and talk to you. But
that's the only time.
That's the only time.
Every two games?
Yeah, every two games. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Game, set, match. Every two games. In pros, no one can talk to you. In juniors, no one can talk to you unless it's like under 12 and under.
They need some guidance.
They need some fucking guidance. But not that much, dude. They still don't get that much time to talk. It's just 10 minutes in between the second and third set. You problem solve by yourself. It's the same fucking thing we do at comedy. You're constantly problem solving. Oh, I better not call that woman who's texting a cunt again because
that went bad last time.
That went bad.
Last three times.
And now I had to, the last three times.
I've learned. That's how it was in jiu-jitsu. I used to go against this little tiny 150-pound guy, Shigeki, like 5'2".
Dude, you have a lot of sport background.
Yeah, I play. I'm an
shit,
athlete.
Golf, jiu-jitsu.
Basketball in high school.
Basketball.
Volleyball in high school.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would come at me and like grab me around the wrist, and I'd swim with the arm to go over
nice swim motion,
like,
yeah.
his neck, and I would just set myself up for an arm triangle, and he would put me in an arm triangle. I tap, and I do that 40 straight times
in a row.
Yeah, and then the next time I would, I'm like, oh, no, wait, okay,
I'm not gonna do that. You learned.
Here. Yeah.
What does the arm triangle hurt?
Just puts you to sleep. I can show you if you want.
It actually puts you to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I won't put you to sleep. I can show you what it would do if you want. Not now, but if you want.
That's insane.
Yeah. It stops the blood from coming to your brain,
and you just
here.
And you just
so,
go.
Yeah, this arm gets caught up against that, so you can't, and then you just squeeze like this. Yeah.
And you fucking just go to sleep.
You go to sleep. I went to sleep in one in practice. We were doing it, and this guy was, I was like, it's not cinched in, bro. And he was like, really? I'm like, nah. I'm like, I don't, because I'm waiting to tap, and I'm like, that's not going to make me tap. You don't have it cinched in. And he goes, and he readjusted, and then I saw the teacher standing over me.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just out instantly. It's pretty fucking cool.
That's nuts. Well, that's like the Kill Bill five finger. Yeah. It's like, is that actually a real thing? That it obviously isn't. But
no,
putting somebody to sleep, could you do that to a girl? Just put her to sleep?
Yeah, I've wanted to in bed. I mean, I'm a choker, and I wanted to be like, let me fucking choke
out. Let me fucking choke
you. And I want just keep fucking.
But what happens if they don't fucking wake up, dude?
They'll wake up. You'd have to hold it for like 2 more minutes after that
to kill them.
Yeah.
So, because then the brain goes into like oxygen deficient
and needs it, and then
So it just, it's probably a defense mechanism, right? That probably saves our lives.
Fighting, I think so. Something
it
like
probably
that.
Does something like that. So you could choke a girl out while fucking her, and then she would fall asleep, and then you would just have to let go.
That's what I'd like. I knew a girl who used to bone a guy who liked getting choked.
The guy did.
I liked getting choked. And she was like, what if you go, what if you like choke you out? He goes, then you better be fuck me when I wake up. Oh, wow.
That's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
I would, in middle school, we used to have this one girl that liked to like make her faint.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you used to have to go up behind her. It was also like my first blowjob and all this shit. She was all screwy. What a surprise that she liked to, but you would go up behind her. You go up behind her and like you would squeeze her, and then she would faint, and she would just be like, "I'm gonna collapse. Just catch me before I like hit my head.
Smash her face.
Yeah. So we would never
wow,
catch
that's
her.
That's pretty cool.
But that's funny. You can just make somebody go to sleep. God, I would love to be able to do that in tennis court. It'd be a lot better at
just
it.
Go over there. Have you ever gotten to a fight in the tennis court?
Yeah, I got
with
to
another
a fight.
Player.
Yeah.
What context?
I was in Montreal. And I was playing at Parc Jarry Park.
I passed by there. Is that near the park?
It's in, well, it is Jarry Park.
But is it near the other park where everybody plays, with the Tams, where everybody plays?
Tams. That's,
it's not near there.
That's the mountain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the mountain. I went to that. That's wild, the Tam Tams, isn't
it's
it?
It's pretty fun.
On Sundays, yeah, it's totally cool. And everyone's just like high.
Hippies and high, yeah.
Ice creams for sale.
Rope walking.
It's so weird. I know. Montreal's great. I was at Parc Jarry, Jarry Park, and it's in like Little Italy part of Montreal. And I was playing this young Canadian kid.
Punk.
Total fucking punk, this kid. Yeah. And I was no like wily veteran at the time. I was probably 24, but he was like 16. I mean, part of what happens in tennis is you're good at like 15, 16. You can compete and beat.
Girls compete like, at the high
well,
level.
Girls,
age,
I mean,
right?
Girls can win Grand Slams
under 20.
I mean, Richard Gasquet was the youngest French player, youngest male tournament winner, and he was like 16 in a day. He won a pro tournament at 16 in a day. There's gunshots out there. Earth Cafe gets a lot of heated gang bangers. So I played this 16-year-old kid, and he was just such a fucking punk. And I hit a drop volley, and he ran up to net, and the ball bounced, and then it bounced again.
Yeah.
And then he hit it past me for a winner. And he goes like, yeah. And I go, dude, the ball bounced twice. He goes, no, it didn't. And then we got into it. I go, the fucking ball bounced twice. And technically, based off of tennis, it's his
call. Because he was the closest one to
it's
it.
His call.
What? Because it's a gentleman's sport, so you have to be honorable?
It's such garbage. It's yeah. And if a guy's a cheater, the guy's a cheater. So I was smart enough, unlike him. He cheated me on a pretty insignificant point. So I forget what happened. But I just banked it. And you just play a fair match until it's time to be unfair. Uh-huh. So then on set point in the second set, he hit a serve that was out. So he had one more serve, a second serve. He hit it in the middle of the box. I caught it, and I go, out. And it was just blatant cheat. I won the set. He flipped.
Blatant cheat like you, like it's definitely in.
It was in the middle of the box. Right. It was definitely in. And I was like, out. Fuck you. You know, it was a cheat. Then an umpire came on the court. I ended up beating him, but he was such a fucking brat. I wasted all my energy dealing with him. The next day I was exhausted. But that in the parking lot, he tried to fight me. He's 16. And it was like, you know, he had a racket in his hand. And I go, if you hit me with that racket, I'm going to fucking kill you. Okay, this is like...
You're way bigger than him.
Oh, dude, I'm way bigger. And he's this little fucking snot. Anyways, he put the racket. He didn't fight me, but that's the closest we got. But that is that story anywhere as cool as like a hockey fight? No, tennis is just the fucking. It's just it's not a fight sport.
There must be so many fucking brats that you have to play against.
So many
rich
brats,
Jews, and just rich white people.
So many brats. I don't know
just
if they
think they're entitled.
I don't know what their religious, you know,
but rich.
Rich. There's a lot
spoiled
of them.
Brats.
There's a lot of them, but a lot of great tennis players are not rich, but. It is a country club sport, so you get those motherfuckers, and they're so entitled, dude.
And they get lessons from when they were seven. Oh, hell yeah. That costs a lot of money.
And I grew up like learning how to play from my brother and my dad. We couldn't really afford lessons. Some of these kids, dude, that's all they know. Or they go to tennis academies when they're fucking... Dude, come on. All right, I went to a tennis academy for 4 months.
Yeah.
The kids there would buy Robitussin. They'd pretend to be sick, and they'd buy Robitussin, and they would pound... They called it roboing. They would pound. Apparently, it gets you pretty fucked up. But this is how fucked up these kids were, dude. Like 16, roboing. I kind of want to do it now just to see what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Does Benji have any in the
Robitussin? Yeah, we can. Let's check.
When was the last time you played tennis?
It's been a few years.
Has it?
Yeah, like five. Me and Duncan used to have this dream when Duncan was the talent coordinator, and I was his assistant for a little while.
Where was Duncan the talent coordinator?
Store.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for like a few years.
That's crazy.
He left when Pauly Shore did that Mining the Store show, and they were like, we want you to play a talent coordinator. He goes, oh, I don't want to be on camera as a talent coordinator of the Comedy Store. And they're like, well, then you're against us, and you're fired. He goes, yeah, great, then I'm fired. I don't really want to be here anymore.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's when Tommy took over.
I see, I didn't know any of that. Duncan, I didn't realize that's crazy to me. Okay,
but we used to have this dream of being able to like just go play tennis. Like, not have anything to do, we can just go play tennis. And then we realized pretty quickly, like, that's... Even though we're broke, we're pretty much already there.
That's pretty much...
Yeah,
you can do that.
We don't have anything to do.
You can go play tennis anywhere, especially in L.A.
We still haven't done it. That was 12 years ago. We still haven't done it.
I didn't know Duncan was the talent coordinator. That's so funny. I can't picture that at all.
Oh, he just was straight, like, whatever Mitzi says, I'll write down. I'm not trying to say, this guy's really funny. Just
do whatever the
say,
fuck.
Write it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We haven't heard from Tommy. Has anybody heard from Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, okay. I know. I'd like to see him, actually.
Yeah, he runs.
He was always great to me. He runs a show?
Yeah, at next to the Den.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
I haven't done it.
On the way on Sundays next time.
Okay,
mind say hi.
Okay, I will.
What else was I going to tell you about? Have you ever smashed your racket?
Oh hell yeah, dude!
Really, fucking Hager?
200.
You get free rackets, right?
So but they don't like when you keep cracking them when you're ranked. But I'm ranked. You know,
right.
Rafael Nadal can crack as many rackets as he wants. Oh, dude, I used to fucking crack records all the time. I mean, sometimes you are just so mad. You're so fucking mad at life, how unfair it is. You know, you come up with these old stories in your brain while you're playing a match, and the only thing you got to do is crack a racket. My coach used to say, be high negative, not low negative. And the difference was, high negative, you crack a racket, you have an immediate violent burst of anger, and then it's done.
Right.
Versus low negative, which is what my tendency was I just get mopey for fucking ever. This is so unfair, and I can't believe you hit that good shot, and I suck right now. And he would go, quit being a fucking bitch, smash your racket, and then fucking get back out there.
Right.
And that's really the way to be.
The temper tantrum.
Have a fucking tantrum, deal with the consequences, and then fucking go play tennis.
Yeah.
And I would go like a bitch. You know, I'd act like a little bitch.
When I play golf and I'm hitting a bad shot or something, I'm like, motherfucker, and I'll take my club and I'll just launch it as far as I can.
Launch it.
And then on the way to go pick it up, I have to go, all right, system.
Take a fucking break.
Go hit another shot.
There's a bird. There's a tree.
Yeah,
you know, Tiger goes high negative. Tiger like swears and smashes the club and then he's done for the most part.
High negative.
Interesting way to look at it, right?
Fuck
everything.
All right.
Now you're good.
Yeah.
Right. But make it worth it.
Yeah.
Like go all the way. Now, you had asked me about lines people at that tournament, at match when I that fucking tried to fight that kid.
Yeah.
At one point, I took a tennis ball during the match and I threw it and hit him in the face.
Who? The kid?
The kid. This little fucking brat.
You threw it at him?
Yeah. It was soft. It was like, you know, but it was
you threw it
deliberate in his face. Yeah. It's like.
And you were like, oh, sorry, man.
Yeah, I didn't even do it. I just go, here you go, here's the ball. Because sometimes you're getting the balls for each other, and here's the ball. It's such a funny thing in tennis. You're competing like for money, but then you still are cooperating. Like, hey, here's the ball.
Right.
You know, and like, it's just so funny. Yeah, let me get that for you. So I got fined for that. So they call a code violation.
I'm throwing it in his face.
Throwing it in his face. But they type up the fine very officially. So I still have it somewhere. But it says, like, Mr. Costa deliberately threw the ball in his opponent's face and then yelled, motherfucker. Like, they have to type up exactly. Yeah, I yelled, motherfucker.
Here, motherfucker.
This is you, mother. I go, here, motherfucker. And it was like a $75 fine, which I was making $120 that match. So I won the match. I made $120. So I lost, like, more than half my money because I threw the ball in that fucker's face.
Do you have to pay to enter these tournaments?
No.
No.
If you're
invited.
If you're accepted based off your ranking, you don't have to pay.
So how they do the tournaments is like they'll try to get the top players in the world, and when they can't, when it's some small nothing tournament, they go further and further down.
Yeah, but they like it's just based on total purse money, just like a golf tournament is. If it's $10 million for the total purse, you're going to get the best. You're going to get Tiger Woods. You're going to get Phil Mickelson. When the total purse is $15,000, which is what my tournaments were,
you get way low.
You don't even, you know, no one would even. Right. So I would go to the smaller the smallest purse is a $10,000 total tournament. That means if you win the tournament, you get $1,200. Okay, because all the money is worth $10,000.
Wow.
So I would enter those knowing I had a better chance of getting into those tournaments.
Yeah.
If I entered Wimbledon, I wouldn't. You know,
are there any tournaments like in golf? It's like the top tournaments have like let's say there's $10 million prize pool. And then other top level tournaments are like a $2 million prize pool. And so they won't get all the top players, but they might get the sixth ranked player in the world. Who goes, you know what? The competition will be easier. I have a real shot at winning that $400,000 instead of no shot at winning the $2
million. Remember that super hot chick, Anna Kournikova?
Uh-huh.
So she made $37 million one year in endorsements, but she had never won a pro tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone was always like, this bitch is so hot and so rich, but she can't win a tournament. So she was ranked top 10 in the world, and she would go enter these tiny tournaments to try to win those tournaments. She never fucking win.
She didn't win even the tiny ones?
She couldn't win a tournament. That was her whole thing. She could never win a fucking tournament.
Was it her head, or was she not good?
She was good, but she just wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Why couldn't she
win a tournament? You can be ranked top 10 without having ever won?
Yeah, if absolutely.
If you come in second, I guess, in every tournament you play tournament, in, that's like...
Then you're two in the world. Great. You're number two in the world, but you can't win a fucking tournament. Yeah, for sure you can. So you could enter a $200,000
tournament. Has she won since then now, or is she done?
She's done, dude.
Did she ever win?
She never won a tournament. She won tons of doubles, never won a singles tournament. And she made $37 million
Is there Canadian doubles, like in the pro levels?
There's not.
There's not.
What is that, what, two on one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I love
and
that
you know
that.
And one side gets a small court, the other side gets a big court.
I fucking love that you know that. There is no Canadian doubles, but there should be. That. Why do we call it Canadian doubles?
Anything weird is Canadian, maybe.
Everything weird.
Did they invent that in Canada?
We're so mean to Canadians. I mean, they're the nicest fucking people.
They're exactly like us.
They're exactly like us. They look like us. They're fat like us. They fucking drink and eat like us. And we just clown on them. And so good for them. They don't have a fucking military and they've socialized medicine. Good for fucking
them. And
they
only have three people to play tennis.
Yeah,
let them play the three-person tennis.
Maybe that's why, because there's never been four tennis players.
They only have 30 million people. It's hard to get
there's some great
foursome.
That's so fucking funny that you asked me that. That's funny. Canadian.
I don't know.
We used to do that as kids. You would go, and if there's only so many kids, you would play fucking Canadian tennis.
Yeah.
How long does this podcast go? Forever?
Yeah, we can stop now. I think we're close to done. So you got to go.
I got to go.
What do people find you?
It's all my name, at Michael Costa.
Costa with a K.
Costa with a K. MichaelCosta.com and my album, Comedy for Attractive People. Do you have a worse birthday? You ever had a really shitty birthday?
Once.
Because I'm starting a podcast tomorrow.
Really?
Where I just interview my friends and ask them about their worst birthday. We'll get you on eventually if you want to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to do it.
Absolutely. I love helping people I know.
Cool.
What's that going to be called? My worst birthday.
It's just called the Michael Worst Birthday. Costa? Yeah, Worst Birthday Podcast. Yeah.
When are you starting that?
It's launching tomorrow.
You're putting it on.
I've already recorded six.
Oh, great. I was going to say, that's fucking perfect.
It's perfect.
You have some saved up.
You have some saved up. It's launching tomorrow. And
you do something on like something like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same thing.
How long are your podcasts?
they've ranged from 9 minutes to 45 minutes.
Oh yeah, take that shit to the store
and just fucking and get everybody.
Like, hey, you want to go to the back and do this right now? Yep. Absolutely, take that to the store.
I mean, I love how I love like listening to yours. Like yesterday after we spoke, I was like drive had an hour drive.
Yeah,
and I fucking didn't even get through a whole one, but it was great. But I also want it to be just like, oh, I got to pop in one, I got to pop in two, pop in three, and
easier
two.
To book that way.
Easier to book. It's funny. A lot of people have shitty birthdays.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ah, fuck. Especially women, because they build them up so fucking big.
One of my favorite things to see in Vegas is girls that are birthday party attire, crown, all totally. That shit, and crying.
Crying. Totally. Totally.
This is my special day.
You're
ruining this for me.
There's always somebody at the store who's some chick on a Friday, Saturday night that's pissed off about their birthday.
God, they're so entitled.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny.
My worst birthday. No, what's
it's called? Worst Birthday.
Worst Birthday.
Podcast. That's but a cool podcast. It's michaelcosta.com. It's all on there. Okay. And I'd love to have you on it. But thank you for having me, man. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. Ever since I first saw you do the Dirty Show at JFL. I mean, you've been a comic for a long time, but I hadn't. I don't know. I never seen you.
That was the first time I went to Montreal, I think.
Yep. And you did.
What were you doing? New Faces?
I was doing. I didn't do New Faces. I was just doing like
some shows.
Random shows. Yeah. I did New Faces at Aspen, but I remember you did the set where I forget what you're talking about, but you end up on your knees with two dicks in your hands. Do you remember that joke? That was fucking so funny. And then you're finally like, "What the fuck am I doing?" It was a very funny joke.
I had a realization. I had that in La Jolla, and then I just started using it. I'm like, "What am I doing?"
It was a funny fucking joke.
I had two. Got Tommy Tiernan a year later. It was like, "Hey man, you're funny." I was like, "You got those two dicks, right?" And then fucking 5 or 6 years later, I saw Louis at the Cellar. He goes, "Hey, you still doing that joke where you fucking jerk off two guys?"
That's fucking like, funny.
You remember that?
That's a very memorable joke.
I guess so.
Anyways, thank you for having me on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks, Costa.
Okay. Baby, be the class clown. I'll be the beauty queen in tears. It's a new art form showing people how little we care. We're so happy. Even when we're smiling out of fear. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah.
Boom time. That's the episode. So, and by the way, I forgot to say what the story was for Chris Rock last week. I got sidetracked on shitting on the UCB for not paying, not respecting comedians at all. Not respecting comedians enough to give them a percentage of the money you bring in for people to watch the comedians. So he was at the UCB, in New York, and I think it was at Whiplash, which is a really good show. And he saw somebody recording on their fucking camera. That's what I was saying about us always having the stuff around. We're started in a time where we used to, if we had a camera on us, of course you got to take pictures. And if you had a video camera on you, like a home video camera, and Chris Rock stopped in to do something cool, to do stand-up comedy, the one thing he's known for, I could see the desire to film that. So people were all on their cameras, and he goes, guys, stop. I'm only here to work stuff out. None of this is prepared. It's not ready. So I don't want anyone else to see this. This is just for you guys. I'm stopping in. Nobody paid tickets to see me tonight. He was just a pop in. So put your cameras away so I don't have to worry about this getting out before it, especially if you talk about like harsh stuff, you got to make sure you have all your lines prepared. If you drop an N-bomb in there and you don't have it justified yet, you'll be like, it's a half a bit. It's not done yet. But once it's out on YouTube, it's fucking out. People think, you're done. So anyway, whatever it is, he asked people to stop recording. Everybody put their phone down. And then some other guy, I know what this is about. The Comedy Store stories. The Jackass stories are sold out. I'm so excited for that. I'm going to watch a bunch of Jack Crispanius, Danger Aaron, Steve-O. They're all going to be down there telling Jackass stories. It's going to be fucking sweet. Preston Lacey. So I was saying at the Comedy Store stories, don't fucking record. Don't be the guys like, I can record and they won't know. So here's what happened. So Chris Rock, he's on stage. Everyone's loving it. People start recording. He goes, guys, I can't do this. You got to put your phones away. And then he went back into his act. People put their phones away. And then he did another minute or so. And then he looks over and some guy's got his fucking phone like propped behind one of his arms as if like to hide it, And Chris Rock was like, dude, I can see what you're doing. You're recording me. And the guy's like, sorry. And he put it away. But Rock was like, no, I already asked you not to do that. And now I don't know if you guys are going to do it or not. I can't see everybody in this room. It's a deep fucking room. Can I not trust you guys? I'm paraphrasing completely. I heard this happened. I don't know if any of it happened. And he said, fuck it. I can't do it. If you guys aren't going to be cool, I can't. And he left. And I'm sure people were like, no, we won't. But it's like too late. You guys, we've got to build an etiquette around these phones. When you're at a concert, leave them off. That's what Yusuf was telling me. He goes, people say that Jack White, people like that are saying that they don't feel like they're doing as well on stage when they kill it because everyone's got a cell phone in one hand. So nobody's fucking clapping. Nobody's making noise. Put your phones away and have your experience and then go on later and talk about it. You want to get one picture, get one picture, but you know you're going to want to get a better picture when they do something else later. Just don't do it. Have your memories. Have your memories. Get a picture outside the stadium on your way in. You don't need Arcade Fire behind you. Let everybody else take care of it. I went to the Flaming Lips concert in October. Flaming Lips and Tame Impala. It was great. It was a Halloween show. And the white balloons and the red balloons came out. They filled up everything. If you've never been to a Flaming Lips concert, do yourself a favor. One of the greatest live bands of all time. The experience is amazing. If you like their music at all, fucking head over. And everyone's taking pictures, and it's fine, whatever. But I went online later, and I looked at Instagram, and anyone who tagged Flaming Lips had the same pictures. Some were better than others. But it's like, you can see this shit later. If you want to explain it to somebody, just go home later and fucking say, hey, this is what we saw. You can find footage of the actual thing. And if you don't pick up your phone, then you get to enjoy the hell out of it and get the pictures later. Take a picture in front of the stadium and that's it. If you're going to Chicago, get one in front of the fucking Michael Jordan. If you're going to Staples Center, get one of you giving the finger to Kobe Bryant. Live your lives. All right. I hope I'm not turning that old man. It's like, get off your phones. Man, it's been freeing being off that cell phone. It's been freeing. Anyway, thank you, Michael Costa. For joining me, I appreciate it. That was cool of you. Some funny stories. Don't forget to pick up his album if you're looking for something. And don't forget to pick up my album. You can pre-buy it right now, or actually buy the if you just listen to iTunes, $8. Get it on iTunes, the album of Passive Aggressive. One complete hour of comedy. And if you want to get the video and audio for fucking cheaper than that, go to my website, arithegreat.com. You'll see my tour dates on the right-hand side. Sacramento, Brea, D.C., tons of shit. Tampa's being canceled, by the way. I had too many tour dates. I had to pull some back. I'm going to Edinburgh for a fucking month. But yeah, buy Passive Aggressive or get Passive Aggressive for $1 or as much as you want. Get on there right now. And then watch it. DVR it this Friday night, midnight Eastern. On Friday night, 11 p.m. Friday night, Central, 10 p.m. Mountain. I think that's how it works. And then 9 p.m. Western if you have Cox or something. I don't know, you guys. I haven't had cable in fucking 12 years. I went up to take pictures of my billboard. I have this giant billboard for this not happening. So it's a giant picture of me in front of my old apartment building. In LA, right in front of my old apartment window at Comedy Central, like 5-6 years ago, bought this billboard and they put up ads for stuff. And they put a picture of me up there, giant picture of me with my suit on from This Is Not Happening. So I went up there. We're going to go climb up there and try to get arrested. But we couldn't find a way up. There's no ladder. But let the record state, I would have done it. So yeah, download it, you guys. Get it. AriTheGreat.com. You can get it there and set your DVR. For real, set your DVR. Just do that right now. Come on, please. Just set your DVR. Passive Aggressive. Midnight Eastern, 11:59 Eastern on Friday night on Comedy Central. Thank you. All right. For Michael Costa, I'm Ari Shaffir. See me in Brea this weekend. I'll talk to you starting Thursday. Bye.
All right, everybody. Get ready to get it up and get it on because here comes the tennis song. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hear the linesman's calls. Forehand, backhand, volley serve. You will need a lot of nerve. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a ball in the grass. Let's go to Wimbledon and blast it low, ball and fast. Right hand, left hand, what a plan. Come on out and see the man. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a lob overhead. Let's go to the French Open and bounce it in the clay red. Hot hand, cold hand, roll the dice. Play all day and don't look twice. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit a ball with slice. Let's go to the Aussie Open and boy, that sure makes nice. My hand, your hand, wham a jam. Come on out and be a fan. Let's go to the tennis tournament and blast a high kick serve. Let's go to the U.S. Open and watch them learn to turn. High hand, low hand, girl in tights. Watch that gal hit under the lights. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls. Let's go to the tennis tournament and hit our tennis balls.